What's popping, everybody? Oh, we got action. We got stuff to talk about today. Here in the DealsInTheD.com studios with Drew, Mark, Brandon, and Jay on the Drew and Mike podcast. In fact, we've got a really rotten story. I got to get into this. One of our listeners lost his brother in the past week and is having a terrible time getting law enforcement to take an interest in it. Just a real shitty, shitty story. See if we can get somebody's attention out there. We've always had a lot of cops listening. Maybe somebody can help them, point them in the right direction. Then, well, there's a lot of other stuff going on, a lot of dribs and drabs. We have Jeff Perlman tomorrow, who is author of Gunslinger. Have you gotten into this anymore, Mark?
A little bit, here and there.
You going to try to get into it tonight a little bit?
Well, I have to. It's homework now.
Yeah, I think you'll love it, though.
No,
I think you'll like it. It's a great book.
Well, the parts I've read, I liked, so.
Yeah, I haven't read about Favre Girl yet. That's the one thing I want to get to.
Like I said, though, when we talked about it the first time, there isn't too much on Favre Girl.
Oh, there isn't. I'm surprised.
Not really.
Well, I finished the Vicodin deal, which has got kind of an interesting ending, and we'll definitely talk about that. First, though, we are in the DealsInTheD.com studios, thanks to our friends at Zot Ford and DealsInTheD.com, who are so excited to be partnered up with the podcast to be the official studio sponsor and to celebrate. Of course, our friends at Zot and Holly will be offering up to 30% off select new vehicles for the month of January. We've got a few days left, so if you're in the market, it's worth a check. Swing out to Zot Ford, I-75 and Exit 98. Tell them we sent you, then sit back and watch the magic happen. Check it all out before you go. Go to DealsInTheD.com, and you'll find the price on virtually any vehicle you might want, including A-Plan prices and all that. It's Zot Ford and Holly. They love to make buying or leasing your next new Ford fun, simple, easy, and hassle-free. They pride themselves in taking care of their partners, and you, as our listeners, are their new partners. And they're very excited about this, and we've had some fruition already. Come lease a new 17 Ford Fusion for only $119 a month.
What? That's insane!
It is. It's crazy. $119 a month for a new car, that's nuts. Or lease a new 16. Why do you even buy a car? If you want a cheap car, why would you buy a car if you can have one for $116 a month? A new car. It's nuts. Then there's the old 16 Ford F-150 Supercab 4x4, just $173 a month. Both are 24-month leases. See the phenomenal deals and massive inventory at DealsInTheD.com. Sounds like, you know, the idea of getting a kid a new car is kind of new car for a kid. Jeez, he's trying to spoil the kid. But 116
that price.
Yeah, it's, you know, because those beaters are
crazy
just.
Crazy not to.
You put all that money into these old cars, it can be a real pain in the ass. So there.
How old is this kid?
Then, then of course, our friends over at Gold Star, our newest advertiser. We may have another new one, though, soon, hopefully. If you're working a 40-hour week and not receiving overtime pay, lots of you are, maybe breaking the law even if you're a salary employee, maybe you've lost a promotion or missed out on a raise because of your age, race, or gender, or you've been seriously injured on the job, if you're being paid unfairly, discriminated against at work, or injured on the job, you need to call Gold Star Law. The call is free, the meeting is free, you pay nothing until they win for you, and the meeting is, you know, it's such a no-lose. Find out if you've got a case. If not, you go back to work, you shut your mouth, and you suck it up like you've been doing. If you have a case, then you go forward and maybe you get some money. Chances are pretty good, actually, because anyone would take your case if they didn't think it was good, and they are good, the best at this.
I'm going to pay you, but I shouldn't.
It's completely confidential. Gold Star filed more employment law cases in Michigan last year than all the other firms combined. Now, think about that. It's what they do, and other attorneys and judges know what they say is true, which is why we highly recommend them, not just because they're paying us. Call Gold Star Law. Get the money you deserve. If you're being ripped off, call 248-851-GOLD. 248-851-GOLD or click goldstarlaw.com. It's so easy just to say, oh, well, you know, I don't want to say anything. Rock the boat.
Can't fight the man.
But, you know, some people are being just ripped off. Big money over long periods of time. And no telling. You know, they know what they're doing, too. We've seen it in our business. It seems like it doesn't seem that much or anything. Oh, it's just a few hours a week. But when you add it up, people do it for a long, long time because they just figure out, well, what else am I going to do? They can't do that. So anyway, Gold Star Law. And, you know, I hate to start on such a grim note, but this really got my attention today when Joey passed this along to me from Facebook, an email from Mike Toma. Hey, guys, I have something really messed up going on. My little brother died before New Year's and was listed as a John Doe at the hospital, even though he had his ID in his pocket.
How does that happen?
I know. We started looking for him New Year's Eve day, calling jails, hospitals, friends, family, and whatnot. Finally, we reached out to Warren PD, and then he says Officer Reed was great, to file a missing persons report. She spent over 4 hours while we waited calling different Detroit precincts, hospitals, and so on. Detroit police had no report about anything. Finally, she found his truck was impounded for improper ownership. And she didn't know what that meant. Again, Detroit police didn't have anything from the cop who had it impounded, other than it was related to a motel on 8 Mile. So she called the motel, and they said someone fitting his description was taken by ambulance to St. John. And St. John said they didn't have him, but they said there was a John Doe in the morgue. So then Mike went to the hospital and ID'd his little brother's body. Oh, boy.
It's the worst.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. My brother was not a drug addict. He was 26. He had a CDL license. What's a CDL license?
Isn't that a commercial driver's license?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Commercial driver's license. And worked for the City of Detroit Road Department. He had his own house and his own car. And I was told by DOD, and I quote, since it looks like it was an OD, we won't even do a report. But whoever was with him robbed his body for everything he had, his phone, his dollars, which he had just gotten paid, and then won money at the casino and stole his truck. Then just this past Friday, I found out from the tow company, not DPD, that his truck was not impounded from the motel like we thought, but pulled over with someone in it the day after he died, and they let the person go and impounded the truck. I've gotten the name of the person the motel room was in and have been tracking his phone, and whoever has it has been making calls on it. Oh, my God. And it's located a mile away from the person whose name the room was in, his address. So it's a mile. Oh, it's a mile away. Oh, okay. So he's got the address of the person whose name the room was in, and wherever the phone is making the calls from is less than a mile away or a mile away from that address.
Yeah, theoretically, it's the same person.
Yeah, sounds like it. Or someone mighty close. Jesus, crazy.
So what was the cause of death?
Well, let's see, there's a little more. I have a photocopy of that person's ID with all their info from the motel, and DPD is doing nothing. I've been calling every day and keep getting empty promises. The runaround is so frustrating, because if this was a mile across 8 Mile, it would be a whole different story.
Of course.
I just want the people who left my brother to die in a shitty motel room and robbed his body and stole his truck to be punished. I was hoping you guys might be able to spare a few minutes to mention it on the podcast. I'm a longtime listener since the old days. I talked to you on every station you've been on.
They definitely should be questioned.
Of course.
That seems ridiculous.
Sucks. Well, you know, Charlie and I have talked about this, and he's kind of, he's always been a little upset about all the unsolved murder cases. You know, they want to keep that number down. So when they don't solve things, they go into different categories. And I guess it makes the city look a little better, maybe. So anyway, but in this case, you know, he's got family who want to do the right thing and want to see someone punished. And it sounds like they damn well know, or they pretty close to know who it is.
Well, it sucks when the family of the deceased has to do the investigation as
I know
to what happened.
And we hear about this all the time.
That's utterly ludicrous.
I just don't know what to do or where to turn for help. I haven't slept more than 4 hours at a time since this happened. On top of it, we lost my other little brother due to medical issues 5 years this November.
Jeez.
Oh, boy. If you can help, please let me know. I appreciate you guys. I'm glad you're back on. Listen every day. You're a big part of my everyday life. I'm going to try and keep it stiff, but it's been hard. Hope I hear from you guys. Thanks. Okay, Mike.
Wow.
Jared Marks is his brother's name, by the way. It's deceased.
I wonder if he's reached out to media.
You know, that's a great idea.
Maybe one of the newspapers. I can do a long.
We should throw this to Fox too.
Long, well,
somebody over there too.
Somebody that can do a long, because it's not new news. You know.
Well, but still, you know, when they find out about it, it's new news.
I think it makes better for a longer story in the paper.
Yeah, It's a complicated story for sure.
Sucks. Those unanswered questions can just eat at you, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you have the ability to take a camera and possibly walk up to the house mm-hmm. where this person may be and say, hey, this phone is in this house. It belongs to a dead person. Do you know anything about it? I mean, TV loves that kind of drama.
I'm more interested in why an investigation hasn't been done.
Well, yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just beyond, it's ridiculous. It's pathetic. I just can't believe they're that lame. I understand Detroit police have a lot to do, and they don't like to be issuing a lot of silly...
Well, it starts with an autopsy as to what happened and why, and then backtrack from there. It's interesting, too, that this car was pulled over. I wonder where it was pulled over, and I wonder if it's on camera.
Hey, that's a great question. It probably is.
If there's some dash camera or even security footage.
If those lights went on, that dash cam came on.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah, they all are. We know how sometimes those dash cam cameras just don't work in the city, do they?
Well, they get turned off in certain cases.
Or the audio gets turned off. You see Officer Melendez is getting out? The way that beat
is
up
he really?
Floyd Dent. Yeah, I think he's getting out next week.
God, you know, they were talking about that, and I thought, oh, this is going to get shut down. There's no way he's getting out of it for 1 year after the Floyd Dent. And plus, his record from before that was
pretty atrocious.
Pretty bad.
14 months behind bars, month over his minimum sentence.
He just sounds like a bad guy, too. Just a bad guy.
Well,
you don't want a police uniform.
Oh, that's what I was gonna say. Is he going to end up getting a job as a cop again? Cause remember, Highland Park hired him.
You know, I hope to hell not.
How could he?
I don't know.
Been in jail.
There was a guy when I first came to Detroit who eventually was drummed out of the police department. This guy had been involved in more shootings. I mean, I want to say he'd been involved in 10 shootings or something, and a few people had been killed. And he was just on the case. He was out there in his car every day.
I'm a cop, you idiot!
No big deal.
For what it's worth, Floyd Dent has already forgiven him, which is, I don't know, pretty wild. How could you forgive a guy that beat the shit out of you, planted drugs on you?
Yeah, that was the other thing.
Yeah, Kim Worthy's not too happy about it. He's getting out already.
I don't understand this. What is it, you know, White Boy Rick, for example, just sits and rots for his entire life
mm-hmm.
up in some prison in northern Michigan. And this guy, who's a cop, who's planting cocaine on someone, there's certainly racist elements to that thing, or it appears. I don't know what's in this guy's heart, but, I mean, he just beat the fuck out of somebody who did nothing wrong.
Really, a lot of anger is in his heart.
Absolutely. And then this guy was suffering, moaning in a police station. They're all laughing at him, making fun of him. And, you know, thankfully they did have dash cam. And you know, the first time I saw this, why is he a guy punching him so many times? What the hell?
He just turned their mics off. Is that the case where they turned their mics off, or Melendez turned his mic off?
I don't think there was mics for that. I just remember seeing it and seeing that guy rabbit punching him over and over and over for nothing.
Yep. Well, he's getting out.
Hey, I mentioned 48 Hours to you over the weekend. Did you happen to see the case?
I did not, no.
God, it was such a good one. Do you watch that show at all?
Yeah, like I was saying, I think my DVR gets new episodes.
Okay. You might have seen this one then. Have you watched 48 Hours at all, Brandon?
I'm more of a Dateline than 48.
Oh, you got to get with it, 48 Hours.
They're very similar, actually.
I just like this idea that I'm more of a Dateline guy.
Yeah.
It's like my mom with Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise. I like Tom Hanks. I don't like Tom Cruise.
I got to say, us Dateline and 48 Hours people just laugh at the 2020 group.
I'm convinced my mom... That whole thing with my mom comes from Scientology, because she always mentions, isn't he in the Church of Scientology? I think that's a big life with Tom Cruise.
We're talking about Giovanni Ribisi. I didn't know he was a big Scientologist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
His sister is, too. The chick from Dazed and Confused with the big red afro.
How can you watch this Leah Remini show and put your name on that church? I don't get it. I don't know how you could anyway, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're literally... They virtually kidnap people.
Yep.
And this whole business of not letting people talk to their families and suppressive people, and what kind of crap is that? I mean, it's clearly a cult. It's not a church. And then I keep reading their new quotes about Leah Remini. They keep responding to everything she's doing. It's, churches don't talk like that. They don't call people washed up actresses when they leave the church.
How come people don't get mad about why they're tax exempt? I don't understand why they're tax exempt.
Welcome because they have,
don't they say they just spend and yeah they put the word church on there?
Yep.
Isn't it because they spend enough money on real estate? Isn't that part of the deal? Like that's the loophole. I thought that's what they presented in Going Clear, the documentary.
I think the, you know, as far as the, their case,
because you have to put so much money back out into the public via charity.
Yeah.
So one of theirs was the Celebrity Center.
Oh, yeah, the celebrity Tom Cruise's house, Tom Cruise's home away from home.
Apparently, that's the way they put money back into the community.
I think the real answer to your question is they have such great lawyers, and they spend so much money on lawyers. I mean, they've got dozens of lawyers on retainer. And what they do in a lot of cases, you know, if somebody, for example, is involved in a case against them, they'll go after the police, the police's family. They'll get PIs on them. They'll start finding things out about them. They'll find out things about the judge. They'll find out things about the prosecutor. And they start doing some playing some really dirty pool, and they scare the shit out of people.
Well, and they exhaust people, too.
Yeah, they do. They anybody who has that kind of money behind them and can just spend money on attorneys and court and all that, that's means why nothing to them.
Former members that are celebrities must freak them out because they know, A, they have the money, and they have the mouthpiece to raise some hell, like Leah Remini.
Right, but they always feel, I think, that in those auditing sessions, they have so much dirt because those people spill every nasty, horrible thing about their life.
Where's the dirt on Remini?
Good question. I don't know. I think she spills a lot of her own dirt, to be honest. Her book is called Troublemaker.
Yeah. She doesn't seem to care.
No, I don't think she does care. So, I think she's one of those, she's a really open book. And at first, I didn't like her when she was a Scientologist. I thought she was
not
a different person in a lot of ways.
Well, absolutely. She must not have something that's extremely damning, like Travolta and his gay stuff.
We already know about that because of lawsuit filings about Travolta and his wiry and unkempt pubes and his dense hands.
But that's unquote, all hearsay.
Getting his butt rubbed.
His gay stuff.
That's all hearsay.
But it's in a deposition. I mean, I know anybody can take a deposition and sue somebody, but...
You know, I don't understand.
Could it be worse than the? I mean, if the Church of Scientology say Travolta leaves and that alarm goes off when he leaves and they start releasing all his audit information, does that hold that much more weight over a deposition from a masseuse that is proven to have worked on him?
No, but they kept that all quiet. It's all under file.
Imagine how much more Scientology the Church of Scientology has on Travolta.
It'll be like Trump's press conference. They'll have a table with all those folders and papers.
Exactly.
Oh boy, these are all of
the masseuse thing.
This is John's gay life. This is John's secret gay life here. All these files.
What do you want me to look at here?
The masseuse is the tip of the iceberg. There's probably crazy stories.
If you want to come up and go through this stuff, you're welcome. It's really exhausting, and there's so much.
Unless he's committed a felony for the Church of Scientology, I don't know what they could release.
I personally,
like they killed some kind of gay prostitute to cover up for Travolta or something. Or he did it with his dense hands. He choked somebody out.
I don't understand why he doesn't just come out and say, you know what, I'm bi or I'm gay or whatever, because he must be bi.
Kelly totally understands.
I wonder if it's the Church of Scientology. Do they have any gay members?
I don't know why.
Is it okay to be gay in the Church of Scientology?
Oh, boy.
Probably not. Can you look up gay in Scientology, Jay?
Well, but, yeah, no, I can't think of any openly gay members. Do you think Travolta or Cruz would ever leave that religion?
Cruz has left. Cruz has left.
Really?
He left for a while. He did, but he came back. It was a project.
Actually, LRH promoted homophobia. According to Wikipedia.
So, yeah, so it's not allowed.
But I don't think so.
Wasn't LRH gay? Didn't he have gay tendencies, I thought?
I don't
Or is he just a complete womanizer?
I thought he was a womanizer,
yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Bad teeth.
I can't get over him living in international waters on that yacht for all those years with all those Sea Orgers just kissing his ass nonstop. God, that must have been fun, actually. Everybody had a blast. Wearing that fake uniform every day, acting like he's some important military person, and everyone acting like he was.
Except you're always at sea.
Commander LRH. What do we do? There's an iceberg ahead.
Admit, there's part of you, a small part of you that is...
Maybe on the bridge.
on the poop deck.
After forward. isn't there part of you that's kind of just a little bit of admiration that he built it to what it was, to the point where one of the biggest movie stars and his same-sized friend are saluting a picture of him long after he's dead?
I know. It's so silly.
He's not dead. He's just hovering.
Yeah.
That's right. It's just...
traveling.
Exactly.
Now, Ricky Martin was involved...
It is impressive, though, to be honest. It is impressive.
It's really remarkable.
Ricky Martin was involved in Scientology in the early 2000s, and allegedly, he was given therapy to attempt to rid him of the homosexuality.
Oh, so they believe in conversion therapy.
Oh, they're still in that... They're still that point in the equation.
And then there's one big name. One big name who was introduced to Scientology by his agent way back in the day.
Freddie Mercury.
Rock Hudson.
Rock!
Oh, Rock! Yeah.
That's the rock upon which they built that church.
Wow. Was Rock in the church?
Rock.
Well, his agent was Flo Allen.
She the one that sold out that other gay actor to save Rock's career?
And then they LRH showed up at Rock's house one day and saw all the guys in the pool, all the blonde dudes.
This is funny. Jay just got to a page. Seven allegedly gay Scientologists. Oh. The first picture is Tom Cruise.
Check. That's one.
Then Laura Prepon.
Laura Prepon's not gay.
Oh, she does gay stuff in Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, that's right. That's, come on.
Then Will Smith. He made out with a guy in a movie.
He got AIDS.
Candace Bergen. She's been married.
Well, the haircut.
John Travolta. Ricky Martin. And Rock Hudson. Yep. Yeah, wow. How about that?
But really, no, you can't be gay and Scientologist.
No, that's not the way they like to do things, and they're pretty fussy. They lost their tax-exempt status in 67 when the IRS determined the outfit was a commercial enterprise and not a religious one. Well,
they got it back, though.
He started Scientology because he wanted to make a lot of money. He was a science fiction writer, and he said, churches make lots of money. I'm going to start a church. That's why he started it. It was a commercial. It was absolutely a commercial enterprise. It had nothing to do with what he believed.
How do you get that ball rolling? How do you get the initial 20 members?
How do you got to be some? You got to have some kind of inspirational pull, I guess.
Jim Jones.
Yeah,
charisma like Jim Jones.
And shoe polish sideburns.
I love that story.
I know.
Oh,
wow, gosh. It's crazy. Hey, you know, I was watching a little story about the...
Oh, I'm sorry. We totally derailed. Did you want to talk about 48 Hours?
Oh, yeah. Just briefly, this case on Saturday, they had two shows that I think were reruns, so you might even know them. And the second one was the really fascinating one. That was this guy who took his girlfriend to Panama, and he was a Marine. He had left the Marines, you know, honorary, I think. I don't think there's any problem. But he left it for 7 or 8 years. Takes his girl down to Panama. He sings in bars. And they said he was not very good, by the way. I think he could play, but he couldn't sing. And she had a job. And then all of a sudden, she's real close to her sister, and she's emailing her sister all the time. Oh, it's great. We love it. You know, we live on the beach in some cove. And then suddenly, not so much email. And then all of a sudden, some weird email that didn't even sound like her to the effect of, things aren't going so well. I think I'm going to go to Costa Rica. And she was suspicious, though, of the emails because it just didn't sound like her talking. And so anyway, she gets a call one day from the guy, the sister does, who says, oh, yeah, I'm going to come pick up my car. I think it was at her apartment or something, and she had the keys. And she's like, you can pick up the car? What do you mean? Well, I mean, your sister split up. You probably got the email. She went to Costa Rica with some dude.
Did she go, what email? What are you talking about?
She knew what he was talking about, but she was very suspicious. But anyway, so yeah, I think he showed up and got his car and off he goes. And then she gets a few more emails just saying, you know, everything's fine. But she's already just completely freaked out by then. She knows something is off. So to make a long story sort of short, she gets the police involved, declares her a missing person, and they start investigating these emails. Well, it turns out he had a child with another woman who lived in Dana Point. And when he left Panama, days after he left Panama, he married the girl that had his kid.
Okay. I have a vague recollection of this. Was she kind of big?
Yeah, she was a little...
The new one?
She was a bit large.
I think we've talked about this before because we were kind of surprised. That
the girl in Panama was significantly hotter, in my opinion.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. This dude is a Marine.
That's the real question mark over the story that CBS did not cover.
I vaguely remember this. And did they, like, track him down and see, like, the playset on his apartment?
Yes, they they determined that some of these emails that the girl thought was the sister thought was That's fishy right. came from Dana Point, California. Oh, what do you know? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So they go to Dana Point to interview this guy, and while they're doing this interview with him, they notice this computer that looks like her computer because they know what it looks like, they know the brand. So anyway, they get a search warrant, they get the computer. It's hers. She's got pictures of herself on her own computer with a black eye. Describing being beaten by this guy repeatedly.
But this was a long time after she had disappeared, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a long time went by.
Why would he keep the computer?
I think to send email to the sister to sort of keep the ruse alive.
But you could do that from any computer.
Not if he doesn't have the password and it's automatically loaded on her computer.
Well, couldn't he just change password? Yeah. Although they know, but
that would take thought.
I assume that's what he. I assume that's what he was after, because I would think you'd destroy it.
Yeah,
you know,
but wouldn't you, the first thing you would change password, and then you would log in somewhere that isn't your place of residence.
But how stupid to have it sitting around near
dope.
These cops who are investigating.
Good, I'm glad he's a dope.
Oh, he's such a dope. Then they start going through his Facebook, and they see where he was selling a machete.
Yeah,
and he said. Only used it to cut up one stripper. Only been used to cut up one stripper. Uh-huh. You know, funny joke. Ha ha ha. Yeah, well, anyway, they track down in Panama the guy that bought the machete.
Good.
They get the machete. They unscrew the handle, and there's blood inside the handle. Guess what? It's hers. It's her blood. Busted.
The guy he sold it to committed the murder then.
Oh, yeah, great one. Of course. He was so happy he didn't have to do it. He gave him the machete.
Dismembered her with a machete.
It's just very ironic. Yep. That
dismembered her.
His girlfriend that left him was murdered by the weapon he sold online.
What a coincidence. That's crazy.
How did, how do you prove it? You don't know. I can see one juror.
Circumstance. Yeah, I know. I can see
it. Okay.
They found her remains eventually in a duffel bag, and she had been dismembered. She'd been completely dismembered.
Ugh.
Oh, is this guy? Oh, he's the worst. And they kept finding him, too, and 48 hours, just want to ask you a couple questions. And he just would pretend they're not there. Yeah. You know, not one of those, get out of here, but he just would act like they weren't there. And
could have been self-defense like Durst.
Yeah, he could have gone with the self-defense route.
He ended up pleading guilty. The evidence was so overwhelming while he, the whole time, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know, these emails, I don't know what you're talking about. That's crazy. But finally, when they got the blood, he just said, okay, guilty. And I don't know what the sentence was. I think he got a
check this
sentence.
Out, man. Judge should be like, guilty. Peace.
Damn straight. Peace. And he was. Because he was.
26 years.
Oh, 26 years for that loser?
So he obviously pled to something.
Yeah, by pleading, he got a better deal, of course. Ugh.
Yeah, she's way hotter than the new wife.
Yeah, she was very attractive. She had quite a body on her.
There's a picture of her with his guitar performing in a bar.
Oh,
dork.
I love that they included the person who said his singing was terrible in the story. I just thought that
they did. That's great.
It was just nice. It just added something.
He's guilty of shitty singing, too. Add another year.
I don't know if you guys are watching, if you pay much attention to commercials. I usually don't, but there are already commercials about the big game.
Oh, really?
I saw one on the, I think it was a 4 o'clock news, yeah.
Was it a local advertiser?
It was a local advertiser, you know, afraid to say Super Bowl because you'll be sued by the big fat NFL.
Honestly, why wouldn't, just say Super Bowl and let them sue you and then drop all the, I mean, by that time you've already used it, right? You can let them file their cease and desist.
You know, people are just so afraid of big operations like the NFL that they'll actually sue and cost you money.
I bet you, what channel is the Super Bowl on this year? Do we know?
Oh. Isn't Al Michaels doing the game?
Hopefully.
Just to get Maz riled up.
Fox.
It's on. Oh, Joe Buck.
Woo. Okay.
I just wondered if maybe local affiliates like the NFL tells them, you don't dare air any commercials that say Super Bowl.
I'm trying to think if this was on Fox. I think it was on Fox, actually. And they probably would be very, well, you know, if somebody was running an ad, they would probably say, hey, you know what, you better not say that.
Plus, if it's an advertiser, they're not going to produce multiple ads for different stations, different.
No.
You would think it would eventually run on Channel 2.
Something else I wanted to mention with the incredible size of the marches over the weekend, the Women's March.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it just kind of ironic that, you know, this march is clearly, one thing I think most people agree on is, gee, why didn't they do this in October or September or, you know, when there was some fresh news where it made sense, where it could have made a big difference? What is the expected outcome? You know, usually when you have a march or something like that, you have a goal you want to get blank. And there didn't seem to be something to fill in the blank other than just oppose Trump at every,
we still exist, and this is a start of.
Okay, so.
This is the start of the midterm election season already, I guess.
It was, yeah. Well, you know, it won't be long before that happens. But anyway, my point is, for all that, you know, what seemed like a very organic and extremely powerful and incredible array, just a real turnout. It was a phenomenal turnout. I mean, it was very impressive. Why couldn't there be a few hundred women in Warren?
I know.
On Jim Fouts? Why is no organization saying, we got to do something about that guy? Because I thought with the disabled comments, it would happen, that would end it right there. Okay, yeah. Didn't do it. So he rails women, he rails blacks, who look like chimpanzees, as he pronounces it.
Chimpanzees.
But nothing. Really nothing other than the 7 or 8 people we saw at that march or that little get-together in front of the mayor's office.
Do people just not care about Warren?
I guess not.
Not on that level. It's only the second/third biggest city in the state.
They're pussies when they're young, and when they get old, they're just mean, hateful, dried-up old cunts.
Oh, Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy.
Well, he has the support of Edith, right? Is that the lady we talked to? Edith?
Gladys.
Gladys.
Gladys, yeah. Oh, and she's not changing her mind.
Look, nobody seems to care. No, honestly, nobody seems to care that he said this stuff. It's already disappearing again.
I think you're right. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
The only thing that's going to get him is that fundraiser, the State of the City fundraiser.
Well, you know, I love that that people are actually, people who have the ability to do something about it are trying to do something. I'm just surprised there isn't more of a grassroots effort. You know, there's a recall on the mayor in Flint, Karen Weaver.
Yeah.
Just announced today. No recall for this guy.
Because Warren's killing it, man.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you think, in a weird way, it's in a weird way, that language isn't accepted, but is accepted now?
Which language?
Just bad language, you know, questionable language, like the stuff he said.
I don't know. I
mean, it's appalling, but it, in a way, it's almost just being accepted now. Because of what we just went through on the election. People just don't seem to
care. You know, actually, when you go back to Bill Clinton, that does seem to be the case. It's like, hey, the country's doing well. His approval rating's high. Who cares if he banged a 19-year-old intern? It turns out that's the case. Nobody did care.
I was talking to Pat about, you know, our friend Pat.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, remember when Figer ran against Engler?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Figer said some pretty inflammatory stuff that, looking back on it now, because of what has been said by both Fouts and Warren and stuff Trump has said, too.
Figer's got a very anti-Trump ad running right now, by the way.
Well, that's why we were talking about it.
Oh, okay.
Like, is he, Pat's like, is he? Could this guy run for president, Figer? I'm like, yeah, hell, anything's possible.
Yeah,
now.
Anything's possible. Who knows? Although he lost so badly in the state.
Yeah, but remember, Engler, the state was doing well. And that was kind of the point I was getting at, is he said some pretty bad things about Jewish people, which was interesting, and about Engler himself. And I just wonder now, does that stuff, when it comes to politics, people just don't care because they're speaking from the truth. They're saying what I want to say, or do people just not care?
No, I think they do care, but you know what? If the person is doing their job, they seem to care less. I wonder though, in a smaller company, you know, if you had somebody who just was, you know, offended somebody horribly. If somebody said that about blacks or about women in a company atmosphere, I could easily see somebody just going, "You're fired. You can't talk like that. You can't do that around your fellow employees."
Brandon,
I saw that.
A cute little fart. You didn't hear it?
Brandon's so happy to have the freedom to fart somewhere. a real workplace all day.
You have no idea the pain I go through.
I can't believe she wants you to have a tummy ache all the time. but with a private business,
somebody step in a duck.
It's a little easier for one person to go, "You're fired," and kick somebody out. When it's public office, it's just a lot harder to get rid of people.
Yeah, I guess so. And, you know, speaking of just the subject of Flint got me thinking about it. I could not believe that the State of the State last week, Snyder mentioned Flint for about 2 minutes. Just made a quick reference to Flint, really nothing.
Well,
and in fact, Snyder is opposing a federal judge, no, a state judge, insisted, ruled that the people who still do not have properly filtered water have to have bottled water delivered to their house every week. Mm-hmm. And Snyder's opposing it. He's fighting it.
Because the water's safe to drink? Is that
no,
why?
No, because it's too expensive to deliver it. They can pick it up somewhere, I guess.
Fuck off. That's the very least you could do is to deliver it.
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And I couldn't believe that he so blew off Flint in the State of the State. It's like, hey, you know what? We're doing the best we can, so just fuck you. Leave us alone.
I'm going to paraphrase what he said here, too, but did you hear the part where he's like, hey, a lot of pipes are really bad around the state? Which I was like, wait, what? Huh? You really want to point that out right now?
Well, there's a ton of infrastructure. I mean, they're not bad in that way, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff to be done, no doubt about it. Mm. Hey, I know you're gonna laugh, but I got hit by some pretty good clickbait today.
Oh, I kind of like that. I'm living vicariously through you for clicking on clickbait because sometimes I want to.
I walked in and he's going. He's in a slideshow.
Oh boy.
Boop. And he's trying to go three back.
How many pop-up windows, Brandon?
I know. I was really embarrassed. Although the information was interesting.
Yeah.
But they could have just written it down on one page.
However,
that's what's so annoying about it.
However, they got 40 clicks out of you.
Yeah, they did.
So
at least
that adds to their numbers.
Yep. You just made them a lot of money.
It was presidential IQs.
Oh.
And they said, you know, something like, "You won't believe President Obama's IQ," or something like that. And I was like, I want to know his IQ. So click.
15
and of course,
presidents who have a higher IQ than Donald Trump.
What happens when I click? I get Thomas Jefferson's IQ.
Wait,
again,
did,
I get John Q. Adams' IQ.
When did Thomas Jefferson take an IQ test?
Well, of course, I wanted all those things myself. But apparently, IQ tests have been around for a long time.
Right around the same time he was audited by the Church of Scientology.
Ugh. Anyway, the IQs were very interesting. They ranged from the lowest was 124, and the highest was 160. No, 168.
Are we talking, like, how far back did they really go? Did they really go back to Thomas Jefferson?
They did. John Q. Adams had the highest IQ.
JQA, really?
JQA, yeah, the son of J.A.
And here I thought he was just nepotism.
He had a 168, and his, let's see, did J.A. John Adams, too, didn't they?
Great facial hair, too.
Yeah, John Adams had a 142.5, so they both had very high IQs.
All right.
But, you know, in the middle zone, Lincoln had a 140. 140 is a very high IQ, isn't it? I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah.
I think it's extremely high. Obama had a 145.
What was Franklin Pierce?
They didn't have Franklin Pierce. They had mostly...
How about Buchanan? Did they have Buchanan?
No, they had Buchanan. They had mostly named presidents. Like Teddy Roosevelt was one of the least known people that they had. He was 149, by the way. His brother or his cousin Franklin was 139.6. Mitt Romney, 142. Hillary Clinton had a 140.
She wasn't president.
Ted Cruz... I know, they had some other oddballs. Ted Cruz had a 135. George Washington, 132.5. Nixon had a 131, Reagan 130, Hoover 129, Gerald Ford 127.
Gerald Ford. 127, but he went to Michigan.
I know. I thought about that, actually.
Yeah,
I was excited.
That's the whole reason you're doing this, isn't it?
Gerald
Ford was killed today.
George Bush had a 124. That was the lowest IQ in this group. Although they said Donald Trump ranges from 120 to 130. So I didn't understand what that meant. Does that mean he's never taken the test and they're guessing his IQ?
No.
He was the only one that didn't have a number.
I don't know. I think he scored a 200.
He refuses to release it?
I think he scored his IQ? I think he scored a 1.5 million.
IQ tests are overrated.
Yeah, sad. Very sad.
Jimmy Carter had a 153.
Really?
I knew a lot about Jimmy Carter because he went to the Naval Academy. He was a few classes behind my dad. And my dad knew about him, you know, way back when. And I remember when he was running for president. He says, Jimmy Carter's a very brilliant man. Number one, he was a valedictorian of his Naval Academy class.
When you, when he was president, right, not terribly, like, all I know is from what I've read and learned. Was he like a really hated president?
Just people hated what happened. Was awful. People hated how bad the economy was. The economy was a mess.
Yeah, total disaster.
Yeah, he was destined to be a one-term president because interest rates were 16%.
Gas prices, Iran.
Yeah, Iran, the hostage crisis. I mean, everything that could go wrong did go wrong for Jimmy Carter.
It seems like his post-presidency has been a wild success.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's a very sincere guy. And he's a very, you know, well-meaning guy.
The best job in the world, being an ex-president.
Yeah, it does seem to be a pretty good gig.
Did you see Obama's, see where he's heading today?
Where's he going? Oh, is he going to Hawaii?
Branson's Island.
Oh, cool. Really? I can't think of a better place to go.
He's freeloading ever since he's not president. He stayed at that one donor's house in, what, Palm Springs?
Palm Springs.
Richard Branson's private island.
Wow.
I might stay there for like 3 years. I'd squat at Branson's Island, make him evict me.
Bill Clinton had a 156 IQ. John F. Kennedy had a 158. Thomas Jefferson, 160. And then John Q. Adams, 168. So Kennedy, Clinton, and Carter were the highest of all the people that they gave IQs for.
Where'd JQA go? Did he go to Harvard?
I don't know much about JQA.
Huh.
You know, I just knew he was J.A.'s brat. And he won.
JQA, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Those early presidents, like, to me, there's Washington, there's Jefferson, because he was an architect. He built the University of Virginia and all those other great structures.
John Adams is a good president.
He was a second president.
Yeah.
He took the peaceful transfer of power that became such a tradition from George Washington.
Van Buren was number 8, and I know that from Seinfeld. I bet you if you asked Tom Mazzaway who was president 8, he would know, strictly because of Seinfeld and the Van Buren boys.
Oh.
Do you remember that one?
Vaguely.
I think this was their symbol. They would just hold up like 8 fingers.
I used to absolutely know the order of all the presidents, but I don't think I could do it right now. George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, then Monroe and Madison.
When's Jackson in there?
Jackson is after Monroe or Madison, I think. Then was it Tyler?
I have no idea. Lincoln was 16, I know that.
Lincoln was 16, and Johnson was before. No, Johnson was before Lincoln or after Lincoln?
He was right after. Wasn't he?
After
he was next, wasn't he? 17.
Yeah, that sounds right. And then there's Grover Cleveland's president twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's somebody in between him, like Rutherford B. Hayes.
And then I think of Grover Cleveland Alexander, the pitcher, and he was way later.
Ulysses Grant had a 2-term. He was after
Johnson.
Grant would
have been, what, 61? Well, no.
Grant was right after 1870s, right?
Well, yeah, because he would have been a Civil War.
Yeah, Grant was 1868 to 1877, Rutherford B. Hayes, then Garfield for a month. He caught pneumonia at the inauguration, I think.
Garfield?
Yeah.
I thought that wasn't that Buchanan? Who was the bachelor president?
That's Benjamin Harrison, isn't it?
Oh, boy.
Garfield was assassinated.
The bachelor president, by the way, was gay. They just wouldn't.
Yeah, there were a lot of jokes about that in a little book I had. Mm-hmm. Grover Cleveland, Harrison, Grover Cleveland again, William McKinley, who was assassinated in 1901.
I think by a guy that went to Michigan.
Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah, you're right. Teddy Roosevelt took over that term and then won another term.
Or Ann Arbor High School, I can't remember.
Then Fat-Ass Taft.
Oh, yeah, couldn't be photographed on a horse.
Woodrow Wilson in the League of Nations or the United Nations. The League of Nations.
Justice League.
Harding for 2 years, died.
Worst
Coolidge
president ever.
Took over and then won another term. Then Hoover, then Roosevelt, then Truman, then Ike.
Well, now, come on, Kennedy. Now you're in the home stretch. Now it's easy.
Yeah, Kennedy followed by Johnson, followed by Nixon, followed by Ford, followed by Carter, followed by Reagan. No.
And then ends with Trump. There's a
president.
Here, I got a Clinton story to piggyback that. That'll make you elated.
A Bill Clinton story?
A Clinton story. I didn't say Bill.
Chelsea's tweet was so annoying, by the way. That bitch.
Oh, I don't know what I did with the story, but basically, is that it?
I don't know.
Yeah. Clinton comeback.
Bill Clinton comeback?
Inside Bill and Hillary's revenge plot.
Oh, Jesus.
According to Politico, 69-year-old Hillary has already started in on her next move, including a shrewd strategy to support her former president husband. Despite the grave disappointment, resilience is in the Clinton DNA, so I certainly don't expect them to try to assert their authority. I think there will be natural and welcome opportunities for them to engage, Mac McLarty, Bill's former chief of staff, told the publication. Do you think they're going to disappear from public life?
No.
That's dumb.
No, I would never think that.
That's the dumbest thing. You got to believe there's people in the DNC going, get the fuck out of here, Clinton.
Oh, well, I don't think she's going to run for president next time. I don't think that's going to happen. Well, she might run, but she will not have the support of the DNC.
Why? She should not be involved in the DNC at all. They would be insane to do that.
They were insane to do it last time.
Exactly.
70% of the country doesn't trust her, and they wanted to back her for president? That was...
Yeah, well,
what is that? I think that's just her throwing her weight around. It's my turn.
It's 25 years of...
I got screwed in 07. You're making me president this time.
It goes back 25 years of quid pro quos and paying off debts from his presidency.
Yeah. No, there's no question.
Yeah, because I can't help thinking that, God, Biden would have won.
Biden would have won.
Biden would have won. I think Bernie Sanders would have won.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know if
I would have
been as nuts about that one.
Yeah, that could be scary.
He seems like a genuinely good guy.
He's a good guy, but boy, who boy. I don't know. Anyway, I want to get into the Favre book a little bit at some point, but and there's a Maddie B story. Do you have the Maddie B story?
Yeah, it's a sports-related story. I was just shocked because I was reading SB Nation. I think it was SB Nation that had it. And they had a story about Maddie B, which is like, wait, other people know who Maddie B is?
He's got to be 35 now, right? Maddie B.
You think Maddie B has pubes yet?
He's 14?
Oh, no.
Was in all those spots where he's got the girlfriend and everything.
He's definitely going through puberty based on these pictures. But I didn't know anybody outside us and say maybe tweens knew who Maddie B was. But they wrote this article about how this person became very mad today online because so-called rapper Maddie B is a so-called football fan. The 14-year-old cover artist and YouTube star posted this picture on conference championship weekend, and it's a picture of Maddie B and some other person. It just says, watching my ATL Falcons today, hashtag hometown team. So they wrote, okay, fine, whatever. After quick research, I learned Maddie B is from Atlanta. He also performed at the Falcons halftime show in 2015.
Are you kidding?
When he was 12
that
years old.
Putz?
Yeah. Oh, I would like to be at a halftime show, and Maddie B goes out there and raps.
Oh, I would be livid.
So they show a picture of Maddie B performing the halftime show for the Falcons.
What did he do, by the way? Did he actually
rapped one of his songs?
He doesn't have any songs.
Yeah, he does. He changes all the lyrics to make him Maddie
B. To other people's songs to make them Maddie B friendly.
But he writes the lyrics, man.
Oh, he does not.
See these pictures.
Maddie B, and then so this is what pissed the person off. The weekend of divisional play, he tweeted out a picture with him in a Cowboys shirt that said, getting ready for the playoffs and my two upcoming shows in Dallas. So he's totally pandering to Cowboys and Falcons.
His shows in Dallas. Get this guy off the radar.
I'm punching that story. How stupid.
God, I hate this.
Are you showing him the pictures where he's wearing the jersey?
There's pictures of him throwing up gang signs.
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than a 12-year-old who thinks they're extremely cool.
Oh, he's
he thinks he's hot.
He's got an alt-right haircut now, too.
Yeah, and he's got those pants that look like...
Oh, hammer pants?
Yeah, it looks like there's a load in them.
Yeah, that's so he can hide his first boner. Hard, nobody knows.
Check this one out, Mark.
I'm surprised there isn't a pad in there for when his testicles descend.
What is that? That's
give him a soft landing.
Is that the man sign?
One love.
Oh, my God. Is this his Twitter page?
Yeah.
Has he tweeted about Donald Trump?
I follow him.
Oh, you follow him?
No, I don't.
I'm tempted to follow that putz just so I can keep an eye on him.
Oh, he's such a weenie.
I know, and all those little chicks just love him.
I know.
Fortunately, he's too young to get laid. You know he's not banging any of those chicks.
He doesn't have any pubes, Drew.
I know. His testicles haven't ascended yet.
Yeah, this is the ATL, the Falcons picture.
Then just last week, he's wearing a Cowboys jersey.
You know, I'd love to have a word with his parents. Is what a monster you've created.
They'll just show you the bank account.
Oh, yeah. Jay just got me a list of 21 celebrities with surprisingly high IQs. By the way, this business of telling people that you have an extremely high IQ or joining Mensa.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm a Mensa member.
Didn't we find Mensa's kind of easy, too?
Well, judging from some of the people in there, we were just kind of surprised at some of the people who call themselves members.
Yeah.
And who verifies the IQ score?
No, there's no way to verify
it. And this person who is saying, I mean, they have to let it out at some point, which tells me if you were that smart, you wouldn't tell people what your IQ is because you'd know how pompous it sounds.
Well, I mean, those aren't mutual. Those can be, you know, unrelated, right? You can be pompous and smart.
Yeah. Oh, of course. But I think if you were that smart, you go, I shouldn't probably talk about my IQ. It's probably very off-putting.
I saw a True Life once on this. It's not Mensa, but it's like the top 1% of Mensa or something like this. And
Mensa.
Yeah, and the entire premise was people taking these herbal remedies or drinking these shakes that would make them fast, like think and
incredibly fast. There's a lot of herbal stuff that supposedly makes your brain work better.
And so this Adderall. This dude would take.
Yeah, that works pretty well.
Modafinil.
Ritz. Ritalin. I mean, Ritalin.
Oh, did you see, you know, the main writer of The Wire and Homicide and Treme, David Simon? Did you see his tweet the other day?
No.
He heavily hinted that Donald Trump snorts Adderall.
Why does he say that?
I don't know. I mean, he just put it out there, and it's like, I'm just going to leave it at that. See if you can find his tweet, Brandon, from David Simon. But then people started talking about it. It's like, well, you know, why else would you get up at 3 to tweet and kind of have rambling interviews and the sniffling?
Well, sniffling is the most interesting thing.
He was doing it during the presidential address.
You know, oh, was he?
Yeah. You could hear this.
Well, you know, JFK was getting those shots.
Yeah.
Those mysterious shots when he was president.
I gotta say, I don't have a problem with the president flying on Adderall.
It's going to be on anything.
Get a lot of stuff done.
Yeah. He's more focused.
Picture him and Putin just crushing up Adderall and snorting it.
Hey, I was supposed to meet with Greg Roche today, and things kind of fell apart, so we didn't end up meeting, but I met with Tesha, who handles their social media, and she was telling me about some of the stuff that's going on over there. He is incredibly cutting edge. Do you know he is giving... He's doing these blood things where they remove your stem cells and your PCPs.
Yeah.
And you know where he shoots it?
Where?
In the G-spot.
Really?
For super orgasms.
Wow.
So women report that they're having orgasms sometimes when they go to the bathroom.
Really?
Yeah. That's what Tesha told me.
How rough is their stream?
I don't know. Well, it's the stem cells in the G spot.
No, I know, but still, you have to have something stimulate it, like
blast
urine.
I
know, but
they'll do it.
They're going to start withholding their urine just so they can blast it out and have an orgasm.
Maybe so, but apparently the people are pretty happy about it.
Whatever works, man.
They've got a hell of a deal going on.
That's a good thing.
If you want the Diva laser, which is the lady parts, the wilted flower, as Greg calls it in some of his copy.
And as Trudy acted out, last time she was here.
Do you remember that? About that. Yes. And you can do the hair removal, permanent hair removal, which Mark's a big fan of.
Oh, good, yeah. Do all three things at once.
Well, you can do all four. You can do the G-spot thing, too.
That's what I meant.
They've got an incredible price for that.
If things go well, I might be showing her my O face.
Where's the O?
O.
O. Just cut off. I love that guy in the movie. He has such a small role. Shouldn't even up for best supporting actor. Certainly memorable. Anyway, they're just
take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. You know what I'm talking about.
Should have been best supporting actor that year. I don't care what he was up against. Guy was great. So anyway, yeah, Diva, they have the outer diva, which is the cosmetic. They have the inner diva, which is the tightening. The hair removal and the old Super G spot shot.
Super G.
Yeah. For under $3,000.
Really? All four?
All four. Liposuction. They're doing a lot of stuff with stem cells. I mean, they're really doing some incredible things I never thought we'd be talking about.
My pops is doing something with stem cells.
Is he?
Yep.
Stem cells seem to be the true answer. Not to mention the anti-aging stuff. They've got the HGH. He's got a lot of people in the HGH programs. You know, that BBL that Trudy and I did, the laser on the face to get the uniform color and stimulates collagen in your face. Greg did that, which tells me that's got to be. I thought it was really good. I thought Trudy thought it was really good, too. And people, the pictures of the sun-damaged people that do it are incredible.
Huh.
Unbelievable. I mean, people with sun damage so bad you couldn't not think about it when you saw them. And you see them, the after pictures, they look very normal, undamaged, youthful appearance. I mean, it's really amazing what that BBL does. And if Greg did it, I know it's good because he doesn't do any of the stuff. He offers all these incredible cosmetic things and does none of them to himself. So he must really like the BBL. Because I know he did it. And I suspect some of those people in the office are doing some of these things because they look awfully damn good.
Try it out.
Yeah. And they have time and the lasers are sitting there.
No better testimony on the person sitting in front of you.
And Tracy reminded me today that they used to do a lot of tattoo business, but they haven't been doing as much lately. And she said, I think it's because you guys don't talk about it anymore. The fact that they remove tattoos, which is a very difficult thing to do. You know, sometimes they can do it in 3 or 4 appointments. Sometimes it takes many more. But some people really want that tattoo gone. I don't know if it's that girlfriend's name or that ex-wife's name or whatever it is. Or it's just something dumb you liked when you were 17.
Brandon.
Huh? Brandon?
Oh, yeah. Brandon's see, tattoo. I totally forgot I had it until you bring it up.
It's on his back. He never sees it.
It looks great.
No idea it's there. Yeah, believe in it. You don't have to look at it. Why should you care? Anyway, yeah, they're
why come you don't have a tattoo?
They're doing all these things, and the tattoo lasers apparently aren't terribly busy. So if you've got a tattoo you want removed, this is also the place. They're getting a lot of referral calls, too, fortunately, from the podcast, which I was glad to hear about. So what are you waiting for? It's the most common question asked at Dr. Roche's office. Stop putting off improving you. Dr. Roche can give you the look you've always wanted, whether it's breast augmentation, Brazilian butt lifts. God, that's really popular, too. I think, really, women want fat shot in their ass. They do.
Yeah, they want it lifted.
Diva laser, liposuction, facial surgery, or Botox. You're in good hands with Dr. Roche, the only double board certified cosmetic surgeon in Michigan. Experience matters, too. Over 30 years of it. He performs latest surgical and non-surgical procedures in that fully accredited surgical suite in Bloomfield Hills. Call and ask about breast augmentation procedures. In fact, we mentioned on the sponsorship yesterday, they're offering that special through Valentine's Day, $5,050. And where's my copy? Because there's something. Is that the silicone breast implants, I think? Jay's trying to help me. Oh, it's
Valentine's
staple
breast
the copy.
Augmentation special for 50-50 for silicone breast.
There you go.
Implants.
Restrictions may apply. But pay no mind. Get your new boobs for Valentine's Day. What a great Valentine's gift that is. Get your summer body now. Come meet Dr. Roche and his amazing staff. 338-1110. 248-338-1110. Schedule a consult. 248-338-1110. Or visit their website, drroche.com. It's drroche.com.
Boobs for Valentine's Day. It's a gift for you and him.
Exactly. And then David Hall, they're getting a lot of calls about remortgaging. There's a way you can find some money. Great time to be a buyer, too, in today's market. Hall Financial is the premier lender specializing in client-first focused mortgage. We recommend them to anybody looking to buy a home. With winter considered the supposed slow season of the year, sellers are more likely to negotiate, not to mention less competition. And with the mild winter, it's a perfect time to get the home you want at a good deal. Call Hall Financial to get your financing at 248-308-5000 or go to davidhallmortgage.com. Or if you're not quite ready but want to shop come spring, get ahead of the competition by getting pre-approved 248-308-5000 for Hall Financial. Find out your overall situation, including your payment and down payment on the home you want at 248-308-5000 or davidhallmortgage.com. Or if you're just trying to find out if you can save some money on your mortgage, get remortgaged. And boy, I tell you, what a great break that is to find out you're paying, I don't know, $650 instead of $900 or $550 instead of $700 or $1,100 instead of $1,400. Those refis tend to be a real game changer for a lot of people. So there you go, hallfinancial.com.
Going back to my dad, yeah, he's getting stem cells. They take it out of him, and then they mix it in like a Petri dish, and then they're putting it in his knee. He's got a bum knee. He's doing that today, or tomorrow, actually.
And is he
wild?
Expecting, what are the expectations?
Well, he's been in incredible pain the last year and a half walking. So
what is it? Do you know what it is? Does he know what it is?
It's his knee. His knee's just got, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know the diagnosis.
Well,
he has trouble walking. So
stem cells just seem to be the ultimate game changer now.
But they take it out and they mix it around.
I know, it's crazy.
And
that's what Greg does.
3 hours later, they put it in. It's ridiculous. We need more funding, more research.
Okay,
stem cells are going to save us all.
Tell me how many of these high celebrity IQs you would buy. Because anybody can say, hey, my IQ is 147. I'm a Mensa member.
Let me guess. Matt Damon's is really high because he wants.
He always plays someone really smart.
Yeah.
160.
Who for Matt Damon?
Damon.
Bullshit. There's no way.
I'm not buying that either.
Matt Damon.
Have you seen the trailer for his new movie? They've been advertising it a lot more now. The Great Wall, where he's playing an Asian guy.
No.
Remember all
he's
the
playing an Asian guy.
Yeah, remember all the backlash on that.
Oh yeah.
Why couldn't they cast an Asian guy
right.
for this?
Mm-hmm.
He looks ridiculous as a samurai.
That seems preposterous to me. I can't believe you'd take that.
Well, the last samurai in Hollywood was Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, yeah.
The other 160 that has me scratching my head is Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? He, the story always went, right? Wasn't he in graduate school in Iowa or some? Wasn't he a biologist?
He was a biochemical engineering major. But dropped out to become a model. He dropped out, though. I mean, it's easy to say you were majoring in biochemical engineering when you didn't finish it.
How far did he get?
I was going to go to med school.
How far did you get?
Not far. He dropped out to become a model when he was 19. So he couldn't have gotten far.
Yeah, maybe he dropped out because his grades were failing.
Yeah, maybe he couldn't cut it. I don't know. He seems like a smart guy to me, but 160, Jesus. Quentin Tarantino, 162. I might believe that.
I don't know if I believe that.
That's higher than any president.
Yeah.
No, except for John Q. Adams.
That doesn't sound right.
Jefferson at a 160. Yeah, JQA is 168. Sharon Stone, 154, which she talks about all the time.
I've heard that forever, yeah.
She talks about it too much.
Yeah.
I mean, she drops that. I'm convinced if she meets someone, it's like going to Michigan. She just gets out there before anyone has a chance to even think about anything else. Gina Davis, 140.
Yeah, there's something about her, too. Does she brag about being in Mensa?
Oh, let's see. She's She graduated from Boston University with a bachelor's degree in drama in 1979. She also is a member of Mensa.
Yeah. I think she's talked about that before.
Just as a reference point, Stephen Hawking and Albert Einstein had 160s.
What?
And Ashton Kutcher. And Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
That is insane. Is 160 the highest or something?
No, there's a higher one on here. Lisa Kudrow, 154. She graduated from Vassar College with a Bachelor of Science. Oh. She worked with her father for 8 years while trying to become an actress, earned a research credit on a study on the comparative likelihood of left-handed individuals developing cluster headaches.
What?
Okay, I'll believe that she's pretty smart. I don't know anything about cluster headaches.
Do you get cluster headaches?
No, I don't.
Are we supposed to get more cluster headaches because we're left-handed?
Apparently.
Is that what it is? All right.
David Duchovny, 147.
Seems about right.
Conan O'Brien, 160.
Harvard, valedictorian.
That's right. Yeah, valedictorian Harvard. Yeah, okay. Shakira, 140.
What's the exchange rate on that IQ?
80. she can speak French, Italian. And Arabic. In 2007, she pursued a course of history in Western civilization at UCLA Extension. Ooh.
Wow, that's impressive.
Steve Martin, 142. Seems smart.
Very cerebral, yep.
Oh, Schwarzenegger, 135.
Okay.
Natalie Portman, 140. She went to Harvard, right?
Yep, yeah. Yep.
Let's see who else. Yes. James Franco, 130.
He fell asleep at NYU.
Yeah, that's right.
I love that picture of him crashed in class.
Wait, he's a PhD student at Yale University? He's got a master's already? Oh, he's attended and graduated at UCLA, like, Columbia University, NYU, Brooklyn College, Warren Wilson College, and is a PhD student at Yale.
For, like, English, right? Or,
I don't know. It doesn't say. Well, at UCLA, he took 62 credits in one semester. The normal limit is 19.
I mean, you ever hear that, like, you know, someone, oh, wow, your PhD, you got your doctorate. That's cool. What? It's in literature. Like, if, whatever.
Madonna allegedly.
Sciences just hold more weight than the arts.
Madonna claims to have a 140 IQ.
Oh, bull. Beat it. Oh, there's another chick, by the way, who's being investigated by the Secret Service.
By the way, Madonna said the word fuck at the Women's March. I think they said five times. Her daughter was like 5 feet away, and she said Trump can suck her dick. So it's amazing how normal a person with an IQ of 140 can be.
Lourdes is a college student now. Where'd she go?
It must be easy getting to Michigan if Lourdes is in there. That's all I can say. They've lowered their standards.
It takes a nice hefty check. I think that would work for any school. A burlesque dancer tweeted that someone should be kind enough to, quote, assassinate Trump. She got fired from her job and is now being investigated by the Secret Service. 26-year-old.
How stupid are people?
Louisville. They're very stupid. They don't think it's a real thing that, you know, the Secret Service will come check you out. You can't threaten to kill the president.
Any guesses who the highest IQ on the list is?
Nah, Affleck. No, it's going to be something stupid, isn't it?
No, it's kind of believable. I'm actually sort of... We have a little experience with this guy being very observant. I'll put it that way. That's a pretty big hit.
Wink dog.
No, it's not Henry Winkler.
This person.
I wish it was. I love Henry.
Jeff Goldblum or something.
Being very observant. Oh, this is cryptic.
Yeah, it's a tough. That's really. I mean, it seems easy on my end, but I know it's not.
What form of entertainment?
He's a movie star.
Movie star.
Yeah. A little bit of a hothead, maybe.
Charlie Sheen.
No. Although I wouldn't be surprised if he has a high IQ, because I read this thing about how people who have more word choices in their personal vocabulary tend to stumble.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they reference Letterman and they reference Charlie Sheen.
Is it Letterman?
No, it's not Letterman.
Who I give up. I give.
James Woods.
Really?
Yeah. I was just giving him credit for when he observed the Islamic plan, the 9/11 plan. Uh-huh. They were practicing on his flight, and he knew it, and he actually called the FBI, and they kind of blew
him. He certainly doesn't brag about it.
No, I don't think so. Let's see. Oh, he attended MIT. His original plan for a career as an eye surgeon to become an actor, he dropped out of MIT shortly before graduation. Unlike Ashton Kutcher, who signed up for biochemical engineering classes, then quit and then said, yeah, I was studying biochemical engineering.
These days he's blacklisted because he's a Trump supporter.
Oh, James Woods is? How is he being blacklisted? What are they doing?
Well, he claims he's being blacklisted because he always tends to stick up for the conservative side, and that's just not popular.
Well, so does John Voight, and he's on one of the more successful shows on Showtime, right?
People who support Trump are taking a lot of shit, period. This whole thing, I'm finding I swear to God, I just want to go a week without any Trump-related activity.
Yeah, good luck with that.
But I think
I know.
A big difference between like Voight and Woods is Woods pops off on Twitter quite a bit, so he's out there. He throws himself out there.
But don't you think, honestly, if you were an executive of a movie, because you know, a lot of the executives, even the ones that donate heavily to Democrats, have been pretty quiet because they still have money to make, right? So if James Woods is the guy to cast, they would cast him.
I don't know.
No? You don't think so? You think he's really being blacklisted?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of big talk. You know, all these people who were planning on performing and got all this nastiness. You know, it seems to me it's probably just a lot of really aggressive social media people just being assholes.
It doesn't count.
But, well, you know, it counts though if you're intimidated by it.
Well, Woods hasn't done anything since 2013. Ray Donovan.
Yeah, that's the show with Voight.
He probably Voight got him on there. Probably got him the gig.
Yeah, Voight got him a gig. That's the only way he can get a gig. He's a good actor. He's done some good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then just real quick, there's not a definitive list, but I went through several different sites that had the lowest IQ.
Oh, cool.
And I kind of went just by the names that kept appearing over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And among those, David Beckham. Tequila.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey. Lindsay Lohan.
What are their IQs, by the way, do they say?
You know, some of them...
The Lindsay Lohan?
They weren't consistent on these websites. Believe that. But I don't know. So these are the ones that just kept appearing on every site.
She also has the stinkiest, sweatiest vagina.
Oh, that's right.
I was like,
oh, right about that.
Yeah,
Janice Dickinson. Orange. Janice Dickinson?
Yeah, model, supermodel.
Heidi Montag.
What about Spencer?
It didn't have Spencer on there. So you know, he must be the brains of that relationship.
Spencer and Heidi Montag. You have to say those two together, just like you do Bill and Melinda Gates.
Yeah, right?
Those two are always together now.
Well, I did see,
Spidey.
I did see on their whatever show they're on, which
Big Brother.
Big Brother.
Yeah, I went on there, and they are listed as one contestant.
Really?
Yes.
See if Bill Gates goes on Big Brother, it'll be Bill and Melinda Gates.
Yeah,
be one.
That's true. And they'll be planning equally on how to win the money.
Wouldn't that be hilarious to see them on a game show or Warren Buffett on some kind of reality show?
It'd be really cool, actually. I would love that.
A reality show competition like Big Brother or Survivor.
I want to see him on Celebrity Boxing.
On Celebrity Apprentice, John Lovitz had to meet with Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
Because they were making a chocolate, or they were making a candy, and the deal was whoever... liked the candy more. Whoever's candy Warren Buffett liked more won $25,000.
Yeah.
So they're trying to kiss up to Warren Buffett with some
Warren
candy
Buffett candy. A candy.
Yeah, he's really into candy.
Okay. I mean, I don't know.
No, I didn't know that either. But Lovitz was really, he was pretty nervous too.
Did he win?
No, I think he lost actually. I'm trying to remember who represented the other side.
Like John Lovitz.
I can't remember.
Love Lovitz.
Yeah, he's. It's funny, Ricky Williams doesn't like him. He sent him away because he wanted him out of the office because he's just cutting up a lot.
Yeah.
He's like, kind of can't get that much done with John Lovitz around.
He's like the annoying man he played on SNL.
I think he's really funny. I think I'd like having him around, but he, you know, I guess he doesn't contribute enough and he's cutting up all the time. Now, I can't, if Brooke Burke doesn't get thrown off that show tonight, I'm going to be furious. After that bullshit last week, David Charvet cost her team a victory because he refused to be on the back of a motorcycle with her on the front for
a
picture.
Ass.
Oh, he was such an ass. God, he was a dick. It was just all about, you know,
looking
how embarrassing
macho
it would be. Yeah.
But it's for a stupid TV show, you dope. Those are what those cameras
she
are.
She tried to explain it to him, but... I don't know, I don't think that I don't hold much hope for that relationship based on that interlude.
Based on her history too, hasn't she had quite a few?
Well, she was married to a surgeon, wasn't she?
Yeah, I thought she would. It was God, was she married twice before?
No, I think just once.
Did she date somebody for a long time?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe you're right.
Do you think she's bummed that she lost that Dancing with the Stars gig?
Yeah, but she's really bummed.
Aaron Andrews blew her out.
No, why did they do that? It had to be a power play. You know, Aaron Andrews threw her weight around.
Well, the fact that she came out pretty quick and said it wasn't made me think that it was. Aaron Andrews came out and said it wasn't.
You're right. Brooke Burke was fine at that. They gained nothing.
She was better than Aaron Andrews.
Yeah, because Aaron Andrews is annoying as hell.
And they probably could pay Brooke Burke less.
Aaron Andrews is the Kim Kardashian of the sports world, in my opinion.
Yeah,
if it wasn't for the nude video, we'd still be going, who's that girl again? She won $27 million, too. She's loaded. She's as loaded as Kim Kardashian, probably.
Will she ever see that money?
Yeah, because some of it's coming from Marriott, isn't it?
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, Brooke Burke, David Charday.
I still think she's kind of hot.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, Garth Fisher. She went out with Sean Ray? Dana Gould, comedian. He's a good guy, actually. Oh, Dana Gould. And Jerry Buss. She went out with Jerry Buss.
Ew.
Oh, my God. What an idiot. Jerry Buss was like in his 80s.
Gross. Well, he had his way with women, though.
Oh, yeah. They knew how loaded he was. They hoped he'd fall asleep after they pounded him off and they could raid his wallet.
Did you see, have you seen Jeannie Buss lately? You know, she broke up with Phil Jackson.
Yeah, over Twitter.
I think she looks just like her dad, and it freaks me out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I thought her dad kind of looked like Rip Taylor. which kind of freaks me out.
He did.
So
yeah,
now
he did
by
look
connection,
like Rip
I think Genie Bus kind of looks like Rip Taylor.
Well, I always thought Genie Bus was really pretty.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I used to, but now I got to look at her again.
Will you pull a picture of her up, Jay? The last time I saw her, I was like, oh my God, she looks just like your dad.
Isn't that funny when someone...
with Magic Johnson the other day.
Isn't it bizarre when someone points something out about someone you never noticed before and it ruins them?
I think she looks like her dad. Don't you?
Boy, I tell you what, I'm already moving her way down on my list.
You gotta look at the more recent photos of her. The one where she was with Magic, I was like, yikes. Now pull a picture up of Rip Taylor and tell me who's who. Is Rip Taylor still alive?
No.
Good question. I want to say no.
It looks just like her.
Oh, he is alive.
Yeah, I've never seen them together.
Wow, there is a resemblance. Oh my God.
Genie Bus looks like Rip Taylor.
That's bizarre.
And have you ever seen him in the same room together?
No.
Rip Taylor has been posing as...
Does look like Jerry Bus for sure.
Yeah, but I always thought Jerry looked like Rip Taylor. I don't know why.
Jeez, that is really strange.
I haven't seen...
Except Rip Taylor wears doesn't he wear a hairpiece?
Oh yeah,
he has pull it off all forever. The time.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him since that Jackass movie.
He's funny, man. I don't know why. He's so stupid, he's funny to me.
Who was it that that I used to think was so pretty? Wait, she was on Party of Five, and Clark pointed out her neck is a mile long.
On Party of Five? Oh, Huge Tubes.
Jennifer yeah.
Hewitt? Likes to watch.
Jennifer
yeah.
Love Hewitt, yeah. And Clark was always saying, oh, she's eating leaves off the treetops.
Well,
because her neck was so long.
I know for you, the killer was also the same thing for me, that she would rather stay home and watch the Golden Girls with her mom.
Yeah, that was a bummer. Yeah, but eating leaves off the treetops kind of freaked me out. I mean, every time I see her, now, all I see is her neck.
She had great tubes.
Yeah,
she does. Beautiful. She does have incredible boobs.
She had those things insured for tons of money too.
Never been nude.
No, she hasn't been. Who does she think she is, by the way? Can't wait till her career is really in the dump.
Come on, Hewitt.
Do something really explicit to bring it back.
Wow. There's a lot of fakes online, though.
Of her being nude?
Oh, yeah. Everybody.
Oh, no one is not nude online.
I know.
Everyone's
Everybody's
nude online.
Everybody's naked somewhere or another. Sometimes it's a bad Photoshop.
Like it or not.
I can't remember who it was, but Hillary Swank got ruined when it was pointed out that she looks like Matt Damon.
Yeah.
That is the most amazing female-male look-alike.
That's quite a resemblance.
That I've ever seen.
No doubt about it.
Now she's going to be in that Great Wall movie. That's ridiculous.
Well, speaking of smoking hotties and new movies, did you see the Britney Spears new movie? Have you seen
it? No, I didn't even know anything about this until you mentioned the trailer, and I haven't seen the trailer or anything.
Yeah, there's a new movie. It's a Lifetime movie.
Sweet. You know
she's in a Lifetime movie?
No, it's about her.
It's on her. So there's an actress that plays Britney Spears.
She's Australian.
So Britney Spears really has nothing to do with it.
She's already condemned it.
Okay.
Back when they started.
She should be happy with it because it's on Lifetime. You know, Lifetime won't trash her like a lot of other people will.
Don't you think it'll be trashier because it is on Lifetime? Like Saved by the Bell movie? Or
I'd be more afraid of the truth if I were her.
Yeah,
like an HBO documentary or something.
Can't handle my truth. Like the documentary she put out, her and K-Fed put out.
That show was the dumbest.
What was it called? What was it called? Toxic?
I think that was
the name of one of her albums.
I can't remember, but I remember reading about the most ill-advised. They had a list of the most ill-advised television shows, or might have been reality television shows of all time, because there have been a lot of people who have done, and that was the number one show.
Chaotic.
And they had a lot of amazing quotes from her that were used.
I don't see that movie. That's from that.
And one of the funny thing was,
Isn't that possible, time travel speed?
Whoever wrote the story said that it was pretty clear. I think they had interviewed some people who were involved in the show, too. And it was pretty clear the people editing the show were not fans of her. They were just trying to make people watch the show. So they really didn't care how she looked at all. They were just trying to put basically the dumbest things those two people said and somehow weave them into the storyline to make the show more watchable. It was watchable. I couldn't take my eyes off it.
Train wreck.
It was a total train wreck.
The movie is called, was it Britney Ever After?
Is this it? Yeah, let's see it. Roll, Jay.
She's the
pop star of the millennium. Renee!
I'm not going to say I was fun, because I wasn't.
Shaving her head.
Sounds like
everything's just kind of this blur, you know? Until you hit the rock bottom. I want to be strong for my fans. They're what keeps me going.
Oh, boy, how can I miss that?
Wow.
You drive me crazy.
Wow, was that stupid? Jeez. You want me to finish the Favre Vicodin deal?
Sure.
You know, first of all, I think on balance, Perlman's book, and we're talking to Jeff Perlman tomorrow, who's written so many great books, generally biographies, is that Favre comes across as really the greatest teammate.
Yeah. Well, once he left Atlanta, but yeah.
Yeah, he was only in Atlanta for a year. And that's a really strange year. It just seems so unlike him to care so little about. But he's a third string quarterback, mm-hmm. So he just sort of fucks off his way through the year. He seems to know he still has some value. So anyway, as far as the locker room, you know, generally there's cliques in every locker room. You got the black guys, the white guys, the linemen, maybe the more specialized players hang mm-hmm. together. And the point that his teammates keep making is that he runs with everyone. You know, from the last guy to make the team, the last cut, you know, he will pour ice water on the last guy on the team in his bathroom stall.
Oh, okay.
He will pee on the last guy to make the team.
Oh, right.
And he'll pee on the star in the showers.
Okay.
And he frequently peed on himself? Probably. He just sounds like a really, it's not like it's forced either. It sounds like it comes very naturally.
Fun guy.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
Until he gets hammered. And starts bar fights.
Yeah, he's not the greatest husband, but he was so young when he met this girl, and he became such a huge star in Green Bay. And the Green Bay media, you know, as we talked about yesterday, yeah. They would not report on this stuff. They wanted to. I mean, they were asking their editors constantly, you know, I keep hearing this stuff about Brett Favre. I feel like I should go out and investigate. Do you want me to? No, absolutely not. And it was clear that they would be restricted in terms of their access to the Packers, which is such a huge thing in Green Bay. No one could be hit with that. So anyway, we were talking about he took 15 Vicodin at night, and they never really are clear on what he does during the day. Could someone just take 15 Vicodin at night and go all day without any Vicodin?
There's no way.
I can really
build up an addiction. There's no way. Although, he's just at practice and taking, you know, one every 4 hours to stave off.
What's the dosage on those, Mike?
It depends. You know, the dosage is whatever you're used to.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get them at will like he did. But the thing about taking 15 at night like that and then not taking any all day, if that's what he did, your body will adjust to a schedule.
Oh, really?
I mean, yeah.
Like if you take a lot at night?
If you took it every morning, for example, your body would be used to having it in the morning, and it would probably manage. But taking 15 at once, that's the part I can't get over. If you took 15 at once, you'd be flying high, which he was.
Playing Sega Golf.
And I would think you would come down, and you would need something.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not sure we're getting the whole story here.
We wonder if the dosage strength was affected, too, because you said he took a bunch, barfed them out.
Yeah,
that's true. Him out of the barf, you know what I mean? And,
then took him again.
Nice learning curve, Favre. Maybe you don't take 15. Maybe you just take 5.
Yeah, he describes a routine where he always takes 15 Vicodin at night, and sometimes it takes him a long time to get them down. I wonder how much Jeff got to talk to Deanna. That's one thing I want to find out, because mm-hmm. she's quoted a lot in this book. Anyway, he's having this incredible season, too. I mean, he did win the MVP the year before they won the Super Bowl.
He did?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
95. In 96, 96 is the Super Bowl year, I guess?
Okay.
Did they win the Super Bowl on January 97? Is that right? And they lost in 98 to Denver, 31-24, I believe. I think that's the way it goes. But anyway, they're just talking about how he somehow, he was working hard. He was playing, you know, a truly creative game at quarterback.
is having this incredible season. And meanwhile, his wife primarily is the one who's finding all these baggies with Vicodin in his pockets, you know, when she's doing the wash.
Not in pill bottles.
And she thinks his schedule is very odd. You know, he stays up playing Sega golf till 4 in the morning, goes to practice at 7, seems to have no problem doing it. But at the same time, he's playing so well.
Well, yeah, he's invincible.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
First off, he's in his mid-20s then, young 20s?
Yeah, he's like 25,
so
I think.
He's already halfway invincible in his own mind, and he's on opiates.
Except
stopping him.
Except that he did get the blockage in his intestine.
Well, yeah, that could be a problem.
Opiates bound you up so badly, and he has to be hospitalized.
And the dehydration, which I wonder how often they put an IV in him after a game or at practice.
Yeah, that's a good question. So anyway, Deanna goes to Gail Martucci, or Mariucci, the wife of Steve Mariucci, and asks her if Steve will get involved. So Steve
immediately calls Tom Izzo.
Yeah, of course.
As he want to do.
And Tom says, talk to Brett. And he does, and Brett's very evasive, and then, of course, he's furious with Deanna. You know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's her fault.
I'm not on drugs. Reggie White's wife also talked to Deanna. She tried to get Reggie to talk to Brett because Reggie's, you know, so respected. Yeah. That doesn't go anywhere. She reached out to Bus Cook, Favre's agent, but was brushed aside by him. Hey, he's making money off the guy. He's not going to stop the train.
Although that money could end if...
That's true.
It's exposed.
So his parents fly into Green Bay. She picks him up at the airport, and she tells them her concern. And they can't even seem to do anything.
I feel really bad for her.
Yeah,
she's
really
trying everything.
That's kind of the theme of the book, is I feel so bad for this girl. Yeah. If Favre were addicted to Vicodin and alcohol, those surrounding him were addicted to the buzz. He was walking electricity, high in football, high in living, high in the chemicals. The media didn't only protect him because they were beholden to Green Bay. They did so because he was neon copy. His weekly press conferences were the stuff of legend, part Huck Finn, part Winston Churchill, part Magic Johnson. Brett was always interesting to speak with, said Rachel Nichols, the veteran print and TV reporter. He didn't say the predictable thing. He refused to give one-word answer. When he was told that Andre Rison, the Cleveland wide receiver who played with Favre in Atlanta, dismissively referred to him as a hillbilly, Favre said, I am. He's right. I am a hillbilly.
You know what I mean? He is likable.
So they roll. They win the first round of the playoffs against the 49ers in a great game, 27-17. Then they lose to Dallas, 38-27. In another, he played great in all these games, though. He just had a phenomenal season in his MVP.
This is the 95 season?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he went to the Pro Bowl, had a great game there, went with Deanna. The flight home that night, there was enough time for a final dip at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel pool. Favre had a couple beers. The alcohol made him sluggish. He excused himself, retreated to the room to examine his drug supply. Had about 15 pills left, he recalled. There were some Lortabs, Vicodins, Percodans, Tylenol 3. Favre grabbed them all, poured a cup of water, and swallowed. By the time the plane took off, I was flying. Oh. 5-hour flight to L.A. was a nightmare. Favre badgered the woman sitting next to him, talking incessantly, paced the aisle, talked more, paced, talked. Eventually, he rushed to the bathroom to vomit. Los Angeles, yeah, he seems to throw up a lot from this pill combination. From Los Angeles, he caught a connector to Dallas. He says he still doesn't recall the 3-hour flight to this day. Then they went to New York for him to be honored as the NFL's Player of the Year at
Once
the ESPY Awards.
If that was today, we would all be watching it on TMZ Sports or Deadspin.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody on that plane would have filmed him.
The night he wins the ESPY, Dennis Hopper presents him with the award. Kick off the evening. His speech was gracious. But Favre's mind was only on the bottle of pills trapped in the pocket of his suit pants. He sat through some of the ceremony, but approximately 10 p.m. he excused himself to go to the bathroom. 30 minutes passed. Deanna seethed as Brett sat on a toilet in a backstage stall, forcing the requisite 15 Vicodins down his throat, then trying to throw up without making noise. All of a sudden, the buzz hit in. I was back. I was walking around talking everyone's ears off.
I can't get over that. It takes him a half hour to swallow 15 pills and throw them up and take them again. How is that not a wake-up
call? So weird. So anyway, she asked him afterwards, how many pills are you taking? What is going on with you? And he said, I took 13.
So that night in Manhattan, it was finally real. Deanna Tynes was done. At the conclusion of Britney's school year, she and her daughter would return to Mississippi to start a new life. She was done. 2 weeks later, according to Deanna, God took a stand. On February 27th, Brett was admitted to Bellin Hospital to have a bone spur removed from his left ankle. Operation went smoothly. She brought Brittany room 208 for a visit. A nurse entered to check Brett's IV, and he rolled his eyes toward his wife and nodded his hatred of needles. But then his legs began to tremble, followed by his arms. His teeth gnashed together. Then his body went hard and straight. He was having a seizure.
A seizure, yeah.
Get his tongue, Deanna screamed. Don't let him swallow his tongue. The nurse charged forward. Deanna removed Brittany from the room, but not before the little girl asked, is he going to die, Mommy? He didn't. One of the first faces he saw after regaining consciousness was that of John Gray, the Packers' associate team physician. You just suffered a seizure, Brett. People can die from those. Test run results showed that Brett Favre had a toxic liver.
Oh, man.
And the culprit was Vicodin. All such crazy things entered my mind, Favre called. Was I going to have this the rest of my life? Did I screw up my body with this Vicodin? I'd be lying if I said the seizure didn't scare me. It scared the hell out of me. He traveled to Chicago to meet with four league-appointed doctors, and over the course of an hour was asked a series of questions. We know you're addicted to painkillers, the doctor told him. We think you may have a drinking problem, too. And this is funny. This is the real rub here with Favre. No, I don't have a drinking problem. I just, this Vicodin's a problem, and I was fine before that. So they decide that this...
You don't want to combine those two things.
As far as he was concerned, the whole Vicodin ordeal was over. He made appointments with a pair of neurologists. Both of them explained the seizure could not have been caused by the drug abuse. They said the odds of having another seizure were almost non-existent. The NFL was unmoved. They told Favre either report to treatment, sign the league's 10-part treatment plan, or be fined 4 weeks' pay, $900,000.
Do you wonder if it crossed his mind, like, oh, I'll just pay that fine?
Yeah, I thought about it. $900,000. Making what, five a year, I think, at that point?
Well, what did they say, 4 weeks' pay? A month pay?
Yeah, 4 weeks' pay. No, month's pay? What the hell?
Yeah.
Ultimately,
that's a month of his salary. I would think he would have endorsements by then, too.
He does. Yeah, actually, his big endorsements. Ultimately, he gave in to the league's demands, but begrudgingly. The call home to his parents was a low point. After he told us, I sat back on the couch and cried, said his mother, Benita Favre. He met with Mike Holmgren. He was shocked to learn of the quarterback's troubles. I was surprised to hear that. And Ron Wolf, somewhat less shocked. The men wanted to know which teammates had hooked him up with Vicodin. Oh, how stupid. Information he refused to divulge. Doesn't even work that way, said John Jerkovic, the Packers lineman. If a guy needed a couple, fuck it. I gave it to him. But it didn't make me unique. Vicodin was everywhere. If you needed it, you could get it. We shared. All teams shared. It wasn't some underground network. Press conference held in the afternoon of May 14 inside the media hall at Lambeau. As reporters fell in, Favre went over the prepared statement written for him by the Green Bay media relations team. It was direct and to the point. My main objective is to get better for myself and my family. It was largely nonsense. Favre said he looked forward to getting treatment and that he thought the best thing to do was to seek help. He also mentioned the seizure, implying it was caused by the Vicodin, which he didn't believe to be true. Holmgren added to the ridiculousness, noting that...
Ridiculousness?
Favre voluntarily referred himself to the league's doctors. He acted like he was a hero. Called him courageous for facing drug addiction head-on. Favre spoke clearly, and Deanna identified his fiancée, stood by his side. They're both positioned behind a podium, and no one could see their legs shaking.
Ooh.
Came across like Brett stepped up and turned himself in. That's how it was reported, and still incredible. Nobody got the story right. Members of the Packers watched the press conference with a combination of disgust and anger. They felt as if the team had sold Brett Favre out in the name of cheap publicity points. It was, look, we're handling this right. Look how wonderful we are, said Darius Holland, a Green Bay defensive tackle. It made it very clear to all of us that we should never show weakness, especially in areas of alcohol and drugs. From that point on, if I ever went to a doctor for help, I told him directly, if this makes the papers, I'm suing you.
Wow.
Brett Favre arrived in Topeka the next morning.
Yeah.
Flew via private plane, was accompanied by bus cook, Deanna, Brittany, and a babysitter. He ordered some pizzas for the hour-long flight, but nobody was hungry. His attitude, understandably, was awful. This would be 6 weeks of hell, and he wanted no part of it. The Menninger Clinic's mission statement explained it was dedicated to treating individuals with mood, personality, anxiety, and addictive disorders, none of which Favre thought he had. He was embarrassed. People look at me and say, I'd love to be that guy. I'm entering a treatment center. Would they love that? Clinic representative picked him up, drove him to Menninger. He was shown to a tiny room which included a small bed, couch, desk, and telephone jack. He experienced, he basically just uses the time there to work out like a madman. He gets in fantastic shape.
Yeah, but they still had to treat it, right?
It doesn't sound like he did any treatment.
Really?
How did he kick it? It's sort of a joke.
Or did he not kick it?
I think
as we speculated.
I think when he was in the hospital.
that cleaned
I
him out?
I think he got cleaned up for a couple days. And when he was out and doing the press conference, and all that, I think he was already off the drug.
Yeah, but still, there's the psychological connection to it.
Right. Well, he's a strong guy, though. I think he
knows how fun those Sega golf games were.
Yeah. It sounds like he wanted to quit, though.
Yeah.
He
was, a seizure might shock you into it.
I think he was tired of, you know, he talked about how it was everything and the business of bugging teammates and, you know, to get it was just such a pain in the ass. So he was allowed to play golf while he was in rehab, too, with Frank Winters, who spent off seasons in nearby Kansas City. He had visitors all the time. Anyway, private plane went to Topeka to retrieve Brett and return him to Mississippi. Deanna removed all the alcohol from their home, pledged to stop drinking. Everything about Brett seemed to be changed. He was leaner, more muscular. When the plane touched down at Stennis International Airport in Kiln, Mississippi, Favre was greeted by five friends who welcomed him with hugs and handshakes. Then they all went out drinking!
All right!
Yeah!
Back up.
Deanna was close to tears. On the day he returned from rehab, Favre partied hard. A few weeks later, in his first session with the media, Favre publicly committed himself to giving up alcohol, which he was required to do for 2 years under the bylaws of the policy. I realized, while I'm in the program, I must abstain from alcohol. When I was growing up, I thought an alcoholic was just a bum on the street. I thought somebody who was addicted to drugs was just some bum who was a loser. It's totally the opposite. We've had a lot of fun in the past and probably will again. But as I said, Coke and pizza after the game, they'll be fine with me, which was complete bullshit. He was drinking immediately and continued drinking and drank all season.
Mm-mm.
So that was it. And God, what a stretch of football he played during all that. He played
well. Some of his best football was played. Huh?
No doubt about it.
I think when he got to Minnesota, he found some new ones. So that first year in Minnesota, he put up great numbers.
He did. He killed it there. He really did.
And think about that, too. He was 40 years old at Minnesota.
I know he never seemed old to me as a quarterback. He always seemed like he was as good.
Well, I told you before,
I thought his play went downhill.
I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, oh my God, it's hitting me how old I was. He was my age in his last season in the NFL. What a loser.
Isn't that weird?
Right? Yeah. Ugh. I couldn't leave.
He's playing quarterback at 41. Although, you know, you're not, it's not like being a lineman. I mean, being a lineman would be. Jesus.
Yeah, but you still have to be mobile and get hit, and it's still.
Yeah, you take a lot. There's a lot of hitting, no doubt about it.
How old's Brady now? Brady's got to be 39.
He's 39. Yeah. I think he's 39.
I saw a story that made me think of you regarding Brady, and jeez. I don't know if it would piss you off or not.
Probably.
Some people feel that he has now eclipsed somebody as the greatest athlete in modern team sports.
Oh, Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
I don't agree.
Just because
I'm not mad about it.
Just because of 7 trips in 15 years. 7 trips to the Super Bowl in 15 years. Well,
no, he's been a great player, no question about it.
I mean, Magic did 9 finals trips in 12 years. Bird did 5 in 12 years. Jeter had 7 World Series trips in 18 seasons.
I think so much of that is about what team you're on, your teammates, your coach.
Your coach, absolutely, but look at his teammates, man.
Basketball is a 5-person game, whereas football is an 11-person game. The Patriots are a great team.
So it's easier for an individual to take over on a basketball team. Absolutely. You're right.
Yeah. Well, I think a superstar like that is more responsible for the end result, although quarterback's certainly very
much involved. Look what he's done. I mean, where's the talent around him now?
Hogan.
When you read about Hogan, that's just an incredible story, too. Played lacrosse at Penn State, then moved to football at Hofstra.
Yeah, you know, when you hear about these guys who become these players for the Patriots, you go, well, you've never heard of them, and you look them up and you find out they played at small schools, they played at Division II.
Who's this Van Noy character that had such a good game on?
Somebody in that organization just identifies talent in a way that no one else does, obviously.
Isn't that amazing that Kyle Van Noy is getting significant major playing time?
But that's why we got Quinn.
Well, why did he trade him then? I thought he was going to build the next
Patriots right here in Detroit.
Van Noy looked like garbage here.
He did.
He looked slow. He couldn't turn. And then you watch him play on Sunday, and it's like, wait, that's the same.
I don't get it. I don't understand how that guy turned his game around so fast.
I don't either.
Somebody coached him up.
Yeah.
Clearly. Or he coached himself up. I don't know.
think it says more about Belichick than it does Quinn.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. They seem to identify. They've so many times identified these diamonds in the rough, and they just give them a shot, and they seem to. How is it these guys go out and just perform? I mean,
but why their success rate is high? It's not perfect. I mean, remember they got Albert Haynesworth. That didn't really work out. Chad Johnson didn't really do much there.
Yeah, they've had some misses. Not that many, though.
No.
No, they're that's an amazing franchise. It really is. I want to get to Today in Rockin'. But first, if you're looking for the best deal on your new ride, check out our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInAD.com, our studio sponsor. DealsInAD.com is where you'll find thousands of vehicles listed with the very best prices in the D. During their auto show event, you can lease a new Ram 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 for just $169 a month. $169 a month and over 200 Ram available. Not looking for a lease, they've got you covered there too. Save up to $12,000 off a new Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk. So when you're ready for your new ride, check out our friends, our studio sponsor, DealsInAD.com. Get there. They're on the M59. Zot Dodge Ram, Zot Chrysler Jeep.
Get there.
Get there. Get there. Get there. Get there. And
hey, what are you doing? Get there. Come on, get.
Come on, get. OJ calls never cease to amuse me. They're so funny.
Come on, get.
It's just his whole personality unfurls in a 2-minute 911 call. His total impatience. He's so impatient.
It's funny. I had the all those OJ's Innocent documentary on my TV, and I looked.
I couldn't even watch it.
I looked at it. I'm not going to watch this BS propaganda and deleted them all. Mainly because the guy from Big Brother was leading the investigation.
Oh, I know. That was so stupid. Today in Rock for January the 23rd, brought to you by Dr. Greg Roche, www.droche, Valentine's Breast Augmentation Special running through February the 14th, $5,050 for silicone breast implants. Restrictions may apply. I think it's $1,000 off. So if that's something you've been considering, why not do it when you can get, hell, almost 20% off the price? Dr. Roche, www.droche. Today is the 23rd. 1956, rock and roll fans in Cleveland, under 18, are banned from dancing in public.
What?
It's a veritable footloose. Yes. Kevin Bacon was too young to save the day. Wait, who saved the day?
You said this was
1956.
In Cleveland?
Yeah, Cleveland.
That's not the plot of Footloose. Where was John Lithgow? What minister is he in Cleveland?
I don't know. Where was Footloose supposed to take place?
Wasn't it in the middle? It was a small town, right? That's why dancing was outlawed.
Yeah. No, this is Cleveland.
Because John Lithgow didn't like it. And then didn't his daughter start dating Bacon? Is that the plot?
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Well, Bacon was raised in Chicago, so he was hit.
Oh.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, that's right. He moved there and then he was like, what do you mean I can't dance? Nobody can stop me from dancing. I'm Kevin Bacon.
And he proves it when he goes out dancing in the woods.
Because his feet were loose.
Ren McCormick.
That crazy night.
Oh, the dance. And then, was it in a barn, too, where he's, like, banging on?
So stupid. Yeah, I know. That's how he did that scene. He should have won something for that.
Did you ever see him recreated a few years ago?
Kevin Bacon?
I think on Fallon, he did the whole dance from beginning to end.
Really? I didn't see that. I'd love to see that.
Okay.
It must be online somewhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was on Fallon.
1967, Pink Floyd was recording Arnold Lane, a big early hit for them based on a real person, a transvestite who stole women's clothes from lines in Cambridge, and still gets some airplay. Mm-hmm. 1969, Billy Preston is recording Get Back with the Beatles. George Harrison brought him along. They had known Billy since 1962 when he played in Little Richard's band, and I love the sound on those Billy Preston Beatle recordings. Mm-hmm. It really adds a lot, that keyboard, no doubt. 2 years later, George Harrison was the first ex-Beatle to have a number one with My Sweet Lord. It was number one a second time in the UK right after his death in 2002. That happens a lot in the UK. Like when Freddie Mercury died.
Yeah.
1978, Chicago guitarist Terry Kath accidentally shot and killed himself while cleaning his gun. His last words were, "Don't worry, it's not loaded."
Oh.
As he put the gun to his head and pulled the trigger.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
That's really
that's
his
true.
Last words.
Those are his last words. Don't worry, it's not loaded.
Who's he saying it to?
His friends who were there.
Ugh.
I know. Can you imagine?
Oh.
I mean, from ha 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 to oh my God. His brain splattered all over the room.
What an idiot.
You dumbass.
Yeah, you thought it wasn't loaded, you dummy.
1988, Nirvana recorded a 10-song demo with a Seattle producer, Jack Endino, Sub Pop. Heard it and offered to put out a single, and eventually he would hook up with Sub Pop, and that's where Nirvana's story really started. Yeah. 1990, David Bowie announced he would be going on his final world tour, Sound and Vision. He asked local audiences to decide on a greatest hits running order and changed it in every town he performed in.
Oh, that's cool.
I know, that's totally cool.
Why don't more artists do that?
Elvis Costello had his he spun the wheel, and whatever song it landed on, he would play.
That would be easy if you were going on tour and you just say, hey, come to Detroit in 2 weeks. You guys vote on the set list or something like
that. They did. That's how they did it. They worked with a couple radios.
Wait, that wasn't fixed? Like, I think it was Coldplay would do that. And they're like, you pick from one of these three songs and vote on Instagram. And, of course, they acted like it was live.
He had audience members spin the thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really funny.
And then some guy with a remote control in the back.
Beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep.
Maybe. I don't think the set lists were the same night after night, though, as I recall. It was all over the place. Sure. And he had like 60 songs on there, and he'd only play 20 or 5 or something. 1991, the owners of KLSK in Albuquerque played Stairway to Heaven for 24 straight hours, announcing a switch to classic rock. Boring. 2000, Santana started a 3-week run with Supernatural. It would win 8 Grammys a year later. And 2001, an English Corner criticized Eminem's lyrics after a 17-year-old threw himself in front of a train. The boy had printed lyrics to Eminem's Rock Bottom, I guess, on him when he killed himself. I don't know that song, Rock Bottom. You know, anybody know that song, Eminem?
If I heard it, I'd know it.
In 2003, R. Kelly arrested on new child pornography charges. He had already been busted for the video with the 15-year-old girl, which he got off of that. He didn't. He never was charged with that, was he? Wasn't he not convicted of that?
God, I don't know.
I know he got out of it with virtually nothing.
Well, he liked to pee on people.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Well, yeah, he did do that. Love doing that.
I want to piss on you.
Trip, 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 trip.
I pee on you.
And 2014, Justin Bieber arrested after... Well, how can Justin Bieber be in this day in rock? Jeez. Knock it off. That's ridiculous. He was drag racing his yellow Lambo.
Oh, I remember that. It was a rented car, wasn't it?
Oh, was it a rented car?
What? For some reason, I thought it was. Maybe I was just hoping it was.
I'm sure you could buy 500 Lambos if you wanted to.
Today in rock history. Putz.
Biebs. You know, what is he speeding.
Doing? What is he doing in there? It's ridiculous.
How rock of him.
Jesus. Hey, so you mentioned when you texted me earlier today something about the press conference.
Yeah, I just wondered if you watched it.
I did watch a lot of it.
Yeah. Thoughts?
First of all, I cannot believe they're still talking about the inauguration crowd. Why is...
It is so
stupid.
Well,
and today, he says, well, if you add up what was watching on CNN and the networks and all the people on their own devices, it was the biggest crowd ever for inauguration. But that wasn't what anyone was talking about. They were talking about the crowd on the mall.
Well, the original statements were both in person and on TV, and it's just not true. So now he's changing. Now he's lying about what he said. But even so, the fact that they called this the first press conference is kind of laughable. Because that's his way of making up for not answering questions on Saturday. Although now we know why he's mad at the media, because apparently when he was in college, his college newspaper called Sean Spicer Sean Sphincter, and he wrote a blistering letter to his school newspaper about it.
Oh! Well,
and he's carried the grudge ever since.
I personally just cannot believe that anyone cares about the inauguration crowd. It was a good crowd. It was not the biggest crowd. We all know that.
He was asked about that by the guy from CNN who Trump pointed at and said, you are fake news, that guy.
Yeah.
He brought that up. He said, why? You know, why is that an issue? And Spicer just basically said it because we're going to point it out when you say things that are wrong, but it makes him seem so petty. Just petty. It's almost like a perfect red herring to not answer other questions.
It's just not important. I just think, honestly, I just think they're going to alienate. He's going to alienate his own base. I think anybody who, you know, I think I could vouch for a lot of people in saying that while they didn't want Trump to be president, they're still hoping that he'll be good with the economy because he's a business guy. He doesn't owe anyone anything. I mean, there could be some good things about this guy.
Sure.
He'll do things differently. And then when the first day turns into a fight over how many people attended the inauguration, you just go, oh, please, this is not what I had in mind.
Well, and the fact, although by Spicer doing it, kind of moved the attention away from the fact that Trump himself did that while addressing the CIA.
Yeah, although that was stupid too.
Yeah,
why?
Saying there's a way, because he's thin-skinned.
But you know what? Somebody
can't take criticism.
If he can't listen to anybody, he better learn to listen to somebody, and somebody better have the balls to say, because I'm sorry, he's not Elvis.
Well, on Sunday,
only Elvis can't ever be told what to do.
On Sunday, when he tweeted, yeah, he might be listening to somebody because on Sunday he had the tweet about the marches.
Yeah,
and you know where he's still talking about winning the election 2 days after being inaugurated, which. It's like, okay, everybody knows you won. Everyone's trying to get past it, so start governing. And then after he did that, he recognized the people's right to protest. You know, a very kind of
yeah,
a
he sent
more
a more
formal,
positive tweet. Yeah,
yeah,
something respectful.
So somebody's getting to him. But then you see Kellyanne Conway, Miss Alternative Facts, talk about his tax forms.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah, how it's done being audited, but we're not going to release them because nobody cares. And it was proven by the fact that they elected him, which some people would say it's in spite of them that they elected him. And then now she's backtracked on that and said, well, you know what? The audit's not over.
I think everyone would like to see his tax return. I mean, I personally, I don't really care that much about his tax return, but I want to see it myself.
Would you care if there were foreign investors?
It might be interesting.
Namely from Russia.
Well, that would be interesting if that's the case. I'm not really expecting anything from a second. I just want to see it. I mean, everyone will put their tax return out. Every presidential candidate put their tax return out. And it is...
Well, from the last, what, 40 years or so?
Yeah. I think somebody was maybe late in doing it or didn't do it till they were president. But no one has outright refused to put out their tax return.
Well, you know, there's that lawsuit out now about the hotel, Trump International Hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't that be ironic if that's what got his tax return released? That hotel?
Yeah. That's a tough one.
He should just release it and move on because it's just still being...
Well, he's already revealed the worst thing that could possibly exist, that he paid no tax. He's already acknowledged that more or less.
By not releasing him, it makes it seem like there's worse things in there, like maybe some investments from Russian companies.
You know what? This would not surprise me at all if what he doesn't like on there is he's not happy about how much money he made that year. Knowing him...
Yeah, but...
That would bother him more than anything for people to say, you only made $400 million that year. What's up?
You really think now, even though he's president, that would bother him?
Yeah, I do.
He was just on...
Why would it bother him, the inauguration crowd?
2 weeks ago, he was just out there talking about how he turned down a $2 billion deal for Abu Dhabi, you know?
Well, first of all, who knows if that's true?
We all know he can make money on his name. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows he has money. Who cares if it's $3
billion? I think some people think maybe he could run the economy and do a decent job, and maybe we can just hope for the best. But this thing about the inauguration, who fucking cares? And who's the asshole, by the way, who reported that he removed the Martin Luther King bust? What a stupid thing to do. That's going to take up 3 days to get rid of that story. It's like you want people to report proper facts, not because you just want to report proper facts, because if they fuck up, it's going to distract our president for a week.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That was a stupid thing to report without knowing it for sure. He said someone was in the way.
Yeah, well, it was.
That's
moved.
That's really
it
lame.
Was moved, but not removed. And
there's a big difference.
Yeah. And he put Churchill's bust back in.
Oh, Churchill's bust had been removed?
Yeah, Obama got a lot of shit for that because he removed Winston Churchill's bust and put Martin Luther King in the Oval Office.
Get him out of here!
And I think this reporter, this lazy reporter, because they put...
He's from Time Magazine.
I know, but because they put Winston Churchill back in the Oval Office and moved Martin Luther King, that he just assumed it had been removed.
You are fake news.
I really think I'm going to get some good laughs out of Trump. He's always made me laugh. I mean, all through that Rosie O'Donnell thing. Remember when he and Rosie O'Donnell were fighting? That was a blast.
That was a blast, but he wasn't president then.
No, but... I'm sorry. I don't think he can ruin the country. I really don't.
once I become president.
I mean, you really think he's going to ruin the country?
Well, presidents have a lot of power. I don't think this country can be ruined if it holds
true to its values. I don't think
so. If it holds true to its values.
And not only that, we're only, what, 21 months from midterms?
Well, yeah, that's huge. But, you know,
it's huge. Oh, yeah. If people are unhappy. What's that?
Who's to say they won't hold on during the midterms?
Oh, if his first day is any indication what this term is going to be like, they're going to drum out so many just to send a message. They'll do it. They did it to Clinton. They've done it numerous times.
To Obama, done that. Yep.
People will not stand for a president they don't believe is doing a good job. They won't stand for it.
Wow. And you know, even though technically we have 4 years, we only really have 2 years before we're going to be talking about the election.
Exactly.
Yeah. Candidates, anyway.
Oh, the next presidential candidates. Yeah,
right.
I wonder who will the Democrats put up next time?
Oh God, they got to find somebody young. They got to find somebody from the old guard, right?
Oh, I would say so.
Yeah, who is that going to be? Cory Booker?
I can't even.
Are they going to vote Warren. For another black man?
I can't even imagine who runs against Trump in his own party. If someone does, if it's still
who runs
crazy
against
like this.
Trump,
yeah.
Well, I think you can't do that to your own party, can you?
If you can. If they don't think he can win.
Are you paying attention to McCain? McCain's taking some shots at him, man.
Yeah, I saw McCain today.
All weekend he was taking some shots at him, and they just don't know what he'll do or what he won't do, what he'll approve and what he won't approve.
Well, that's why I just want to just forget these stupid little petty arguments. Just be the president. Just do the job. He strikes me as an executive type of person. I don't think he's the kind of person who blows off his work. It's just that being the president has so much to do with, you know, what the message of the day is.
He really laid it on the line today by repealing, well, even though it wasn't even in action yet, the TPP, because China knew this was coming, and they're already negotiating. China. So this, you know.
China.
He had to keep one of those promises, being tough on China or being, you know, repealing TPP, taking it off the table. So now he better go over there and negotiate pretty effing quick.
Well, NAFTA,
China did not like the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
You know,
not part of it. It hurt them.
He's talked a lot about NAFTA, too, and he's already talking about renegotiating NAFTA, and I don't know how that's going to go. But we'll see. I mean, I'm just trying to say, you know, nobody's going to remove him as president. He's going to be the president, unless they impeach him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Although, do you find any interest in this whole connection between him and Michael Flynn and the Russian conversations on Christmas Day, the intercepted phone calls?
Stop it.
I'm only interested in it as far as if somebody has something real. I mean, if we're talking about prostitutes, you know, and crap like that. Well, it's fun. I mean, those stories were fun in a way.
Not talking about the PP.
That was a great skit. I think it's kind of interesting.
Well, it could be. I just want to know.
Michael Flynn, his national security advisor, is talking to the ambassador the day Obama gets rid of 35 people or 30. How many people was it? I don't know. It's just interesting. I just think there's stronger connections there than what we know.
Well, one thing's for sure, you know, there's a lot of concern over the press conference on Saturday, which I just couldn't take that seriously. It was so stupid. You know, even in the Nixon days, when Nixon, who was a big media basher, we have great investigative journalists in this country. If there's something going on, they're going to find it. He is not going to be able to hide. I don't care if they can't get his tax returns. And you would think.
Yeah, but now you
would get a hold of it.
Now you have so many voices out there, though, that the other side will just be just as loud, whether it's Breitbart, you know. I mean, God, Bannon is Breitbart, and he's part of his White House now. He has a propagandist on his White House staff.
Well, promoting or marketing the president is an old, old routine, and I'm sure, Trump is a good self-promoter. He's always been a self-promoter. I mean, he's that as much as anything. Which should help him as president. But honestly, if he's up to no good, if he's pulling bullshit with business and and it appears that his legislation or what his programs,
if they work,
are designed to help him and nothing else. That's why, I mean, that's why these investigative people are so important. They will. They'll get to the bottom of it. They'll dig it up.
They're going to find that Putin and Trump are trying to get the hammer and sickle. Communism.
Yeah, I just read where Putin said, I thought it was interesting that Trump said he didn't know Putin, and Putin just said the same thing, and I'm still kind of going, I don't know. I suppose it's plausible. I don't know why they would lie about something like that. If they met, you think it would be, there'd be a picture of it or something.
Depending on where, you know, where and when.
I don't know. I'm not worried about, as long as the media's out there doing their job, I think he'll.
It's not like this is a huge rivalry like in the 70s and 80s or anything like that between Russia.
Vladimir Putin is a bad person.
Did you see him with his shirt off? He's a bad ass.
He's a murderer.
Yeah, he's a badass. Yeah, that one guy he killed, the agent who gave, what did he give the guy? Killed him in 2 days or something?
Yeah.
The guy was in intensive care within hours.
Went bald immediately too, right?
Yeah, that was bizarre. That was the first thing I noticed. Oh my God, his hair fell out so fast.
Arsenic, maybe?
Yeah.
No.
It was something nuclear, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was something nuclear.
Yeah.
Absolutely something nuclear. It was incredible that they got it in this guy somehow.
That's how he treats dissidents? I don't know. I think Putin is a...
But we're not in a Cold War right now. It's not...
I know, but we do have a little issue going on in Syria.
I'm just not worried about us lobbing nuclear weapons at each other. And, you know, that was a... I mean, think back to the Kennedy administration. They seemed like it was fairly close. It was almost going to happen, or there was a lot of concern about it happening. It doesn't seem to be that way now. But we'll see. Anyway, Mark, you mentioned all this stuff on Radar, and I never did really get...
One was the ridiculous Clinton story. You want to do one? How many do you want to hear? Do you want to hear
I don't care. A couple of them, whatever.
Eric Estrada?
Yeah, what's going on with Eric Estrada?
Eric Estrada is being very cryptic over the new Chips movie.
Patch.
I already was pissed.
Former TV lawman Eric Estrada is copping an attitude about the big screen remake of Chips, sharing tweets blasting the new buddy pic, including one from an angry fan calling it, quote, in all caps, pure trash. How big of a fan are you of Chips to get that upset over a remake movie?
I personally can't believe anyone would care about the Chips remake as far as qualitative. Like,
no.
If they don't live up to the quality of the series.
That's funny you should say it. Eric, who has more than 24,000 Twitter followers.
Ooh.
Did not comment directly.
There are media members in this town who have double that. It's embarrassingly low. I can't believe he would even mention it.
How many of those are bots?
I got 24,000.
Right,
half of them.
He didn't comment directly, but he also posted another fan's slam declaring, quote, the new Chips movie that is either in the works or done is demeaning to Chips fans, and I will not see it.
Oh, I'm sure Chips fans everywhere are just losing their minds. Who are Chips fans, by the way? They're actually people who live for Chips.
I watched that show when I was a kid, but I haven't given a crap about it for the last 35 years.
I love the slow-mo car accidents. Those are cool. Remember those? There's always tons of every episode. No, it's one of the dumbest shows that's ever been a hit in television history.
Just butthurt that he's not getting a cameo. That's,
well, shouldn't he really have some stupid cameo?
He should.
Okay. I would expect it, actually.
Yeah.
Can he be like the old sergeant and they just kill him off in the first 5 minutes of the movie? Wouldn't that be great if they killed off Eric Estrada in the movie? I think it'd be funny.
Just in a car accident? Oh, my God, it's Eric Estrada. Yeah. Holy shit.
Stedman Graham.
Yeah.
He's finally after 30 years giving a wedding ultimatum to Oprah.
Oh!
After 30 years of foot dragging over getting married in trouble with lesbian rumors dogging her, Oprah Winfrey's exasperated beau, Stedman Graham is finally dumping the billionaire entertainment tycoon.
Oh!
Stedman has had it, says an insider. He's ready to kick Oprah to the curb and leave her for good. During an explosive flight, during an explosive fight around the holidays, an insider says Stedman, 65, fired off an angry ultimatum at this 63-year-old icon. Marry him or he's finding a new gal pal.
Is that guy for real?
They've
is
been he together really 30 years?
Is he really her boyfriend? Is that real? I mean, I always loved that
SNL.
That SNL thing was hilarious.
Yeah. He was a superhero.
Yeah,
and he just kept leaving.
Yeah, as soon as it was time to have sex, he. Oh my God!
The best part's when he picks up the phone and there's a dial tone on the other side. He's like, "What? The mayor? I'm on my way," or whatever he says. He's bitter and humiliated after waiting decades for Oprah's hand in marriage. What after 30 years, what could push Stedman to the edge over the holidays?
And this dope has a career. It's a stupid career. He's like a motivational speaker or something.
Money, yeah. He told her that he either wants a wedding in the very near future or he's jumping back into the dating scene as if she cares.
Ooh.
Hopping back in there at 65.
Well, people are just dying to go out with Stedman. He's ugly as hell, isn't he?
He's weird looking. They got together in 86.
He's a tall drink of water. He's like 6'8".
Yeah, he's tall.
They've been engaged since 1992. But Oprah's best friend and Gail King seemed to come between them. Oh. Since the talk show titan encouraged early show host Gail to divorce her cheating husband, William Bumpus, in 93, rumors have mushroomed that the gals were carrying on a secret lesbian affair.
Oh, the fight over the estate if she goes first.
I can't believe Gail is still on the CBS morning TV show.
It's terrible.
I know. The ratings are grim, too.
Yeah.
They always are changing that team.
In 2011, after her talk show ended, she stoked Stedman's marriage hopes by babbling on and on about a wedding in Italy with a celebrity-studded guest list, but she never followed through, always putting her career ahead of him, the source says. During their last fight, furious motivational speaker Stedman, quote, threw the lesbian whispers in Oprah's face and accused her of treating him like dirt.
Stedman's got it made in the shade. He's a millionaire, and he's probably doing threesomes with those two chicks all the time.
He could probably go bang some young poon, and Oprah's not going to care, right?
No, she wouldn't care. She wouldn't care at all.
You remember Chappelle's show when Dave Chappelle dated Oprah?
No.
You don't remember that skit?
No.
It's hilarious. And he's painting a model in the in the living room, and she's just a smoking hot butt model. And then it goes, and it zooms out, and it's just a stick figure with two boobs. Hey, baby, yeah, I'll come in and run you a bath. Oh, hilarious. He ends up getting into a fight with Stedman at the end of the skit.
It was great having sex with you, Halle Berry.
Chappelle show.
Oh, God, I miss that show.
Yeah, what is Chappelle doing now? Is he
just got somewhat coming back?
He's got the Netflix deal. I don't know what he's going to do with that. I guess it's one new stand-up and then a couple old ones.
I mean, the SNL showed that he can still do
great. Oh, yeah, he was fantastic.
It was really good.
And wasn't there something else on Radar besides Stedman?
That's pretty much all.
Matty B? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, tomorrow, Jeff Perlman, which I'm excited to talk to him. Plus all his other books, if you want to get into any of that stuff.
Yeah, Sweetness, Boys Will Be Boys, and the Cowboys. Who's that on the cover there?
Emma Stone.
Really?
It's the last Rolling Stone, I think.
Is that? Oh, so it's not the new one with the Pence article?
It's the one ginger Mark loves.
I know.
Pence article. I can't imagine anything more boring than the Pence article.
Well, except there's a funny anecdote that I already read about it, and that's he's having dinner with a bunch of people around, and he needed to ask his wife a question, and he called her, Mother, Mother. Mother, Mother, who made us dinner?
Do you see people ragging her about her dress for the inauguration? It looked like a rehabbed wedding dress.
But who calls her wife Mother?
Well, some guys, if they have kids, they'll...
But his kids are grown, aren't they?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know much about him. I got to tell you, I care so little about the wives of presidents. I want to talk about this. First ladies. I'm so bored by that subject. I don't care what they wear. I don't care.
I think that's weird that he calls his wife Mother.
It's a little odd.
Hey, Bobby. Well, just Mother, too. It just seems very formal, too.
They look like a weird couple.
The last person I remember who would say Mother would be Temple Grandin. Remember? She was
always
talking
about. Yeah.
You hear a lot of grandparents say that. Hey, Mother.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I've heard that before. It's not completely foreign to me.
It's weird.
Mother of God.
It's a little strange. But anyway, yeah, she took a beating over her dress. Did you see her dress?
No.
There's not much you can do with her. She's pretty heavy.
Just put a tent on her and send her outside.
I mean, how wonderful is she going to look? And who gives a fuck?
Well,
Mike Pence's wife, so
vice first lady or whatever the hell they call it.
Yeah. I don't know. I just all the hullabaloo over the first lady fashion, and I just don't care. I guess women care, maybe. I don't know. They must care because people write about it, or their legacies.
I don't even think people really care that much.
I don't think they do either. All right, Jeff Perlman tomorrow. It's Maz Day, so Maz will be here. I think that's why the Jeff Perlman interview's tomorrow.
It's Maz Day. Maz Day. Has he read the book?
No, of course not. I wondered about that because
he got
you them. Have it and I have
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I bought mine though. I think he got two copies. He might have the book.
Oh, maybe he does. Right. I doubt he's read it though.
I don't know.
I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm sure he'll correct me on the podcast.
He's got lots of time.
Yeah, he does have a little time on his hands.
No, he doesn't. He's always doing something.
Is he still doing his thing with the bowling alley and all that?
Every Wednesday, yep.
Does he get compensated for that?
Of course.
But I think he also has a monthly. Once a month league too that just recently came around.
Oh, he's a hustler.
He is a hustler. He's always got stuff going
for him.
He's driving people to the airport. I know that.
Cool.
In fact, I asked him if he wanted me to promote that he does that on the podcast, and I think he wanted me to. So, if anybody wants a ride to the airport, and if there's some time ahead, you can email us and we can set it up.
Do you have to have a flight, or can you just
no? You ride just want to ride to the airport and back. If you want to spend an hour with Maz, that's fine too.
That's bullshit.
Have some great tunes cranking in his car.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Make that stipulation that you have to control the radio.
Exactly. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody.
See you.